You are listening to the Frilla Bros Tech Podcast, episode 171, where we are predicting 2015 with astounding accuracy.
Welcome to episode 171 of the Frilla Bros Tech Podcast. Did I just say Frilla Bros?
I think so.
All right. Well,
wow.
We are actually the Frilla Bros. That's what happens when you hear yourself saying things to yourself in your head. But today is January the 4th, 2015. I'm Matthew Dean Furlow, and this is my back from the future brother, James Furlow.
Oh, dude, I'm so back from the future. And you want to know, I have proof of it. Behind me, I don't know if you can see this.
Is it DeLorean?
Close. But it's my new television.
Oh, baby.
Here it is.
You and your cardboard constructions. How big is your TV?
It's 50 inches.
Oh, it's a 50-inch TV.
But here's what's cool. If I unfold the tabs, it becomes a 55-inch television.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, so we can determine what size I actually want to get. Booyah!
Man, oh man. You're choosing between the 50 and the 55.
I know. Life's tough. I'm going to get the 50. I already decided. Because I made a model of it. And then my wife is the trickster of trickster. She goes, oh yeah, we can totally get a television once you clean up the garage so we can move all of our art stuff into the garage to make space for a baby room. Like, oh geez.
Yeah, I feel like we're still going to be talking about this in 2016.
Yeah, I know.
I'm almost at the end of the list. Let's keep getting longer.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, so that's my, like, you know, TVs are old, but they're new. It's the future. So I'm going to get a 4K 50-inch TV.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, man. Rock and roller.
Yeah. A little future-proof, if you will.
I'm excited for you. I'm excited. I want that TV, the very TV you're talking about. I don't even know what model, but...
I was thinking about going with the, it's the Vizio.
Yeah.
Okay. One.
Yeah.
The price point's in my... price point.
So. Yeah. I totally get that. That's awesome. I'm a little bit jealous.
Don't worry, you don't have to be jealous until like June, so it's okay.
All right. Well, I can still be jealous in between now that people are getting them. Oh man. By the way, so as we normally like to review like TV shows and movies at this point in the show, I'm gonna give a quick spoiler alert. I finished season 2 of How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, nice.
I'm only half a decade behind on that show.
That's okay.
But I will say this: I get more what you've talked about, the whole idea of them, you know, that they're very good at setting up jokes, or setting things up. And actually I think where it was most impressive was at the conclusion, the breakup at the conclusion of season 1, they actually do the character development very, very well, in that unlike shows that normally span multiple episodes where it's really hard to watch any one given episode, they actually do a very good job of having the characters develop the impending doom over the course of many episodes, where yet each episode seems very well contained. And so it's like the very first episode where the problems begin is like 8 episodes earlier. And it's this conflict that in the big picture of it is actually like, yeah, it's the obviously that was the first signs of the conflict growing. I'm speaking specifically of them having to hide out in the bathroom together. That's like clearly where it begins. And yet the conflict has nothing to do really with the final, like, although it's, you know, it's not like cited as the source or as the, like, the beginning of the problems. It's not the actual, whereas like most shows like that, most episodic shows like that, or that as they describe them as syndicatable shows, like the entire conflict is if two main characters break up, it's because of one big stupid mistake one of the characters makes in that episode. So that, you know, if you just get that episode, you get it. Whereas, I was quite impressed. They didn't do as good of a job in the second season, but you know, they were playing around with different things. But the first season, I would just from a storytelling perspective. And the coolest part about that is actually how most people's lives work, where there's a number of different conflicts that all sort of build towards it with complete resolutions that build towards the final, you know, big shebang. Most mature adults, usually you get multiple goes before you realize that, you know what, this isn't going to get any better. And you have to make a big, or, you know, this, whatever this conflict is, whether it's going in, you know, a happy direction or a bad direction, it's, you know, you can't fight it anymore. But yeah, I say all that to say, good job How I Met Your Mother on building a successful TV show a decade ago. Yeah. But
we're not here to talk about decades ago.
Yeah, that's true, man. This week, unlike most weeks, we will be talking about the future of technology in the continuing corporate opera. And I mean deep technology, deep future. But when we talk about the corporate opera, what we usually talk about, what we're referencing specifically, is the soap opera of corporations' dealings back and forth, the people working for them, their marketing campaigns, and of course, because this is important too, the technology they're developing. But before we get into the heart of the show, James has got a disclosure he's got to throw our way. Once again, this is an important conversation to throw out on a week like this.
Yeah. I work for Hewlett Packard. However, I do not represent HP or any of HP's opinions. And I go back to work tomorrow. I've been off since the 23rd, I believe. And so I'm like, all right, here we go.
That's awesome. So I have a question. Last year, when we did our predictions show, you stated that you didn't have any insider knowledge. You thought, and anything you did have in insider knowledge, you'd keep quiet. Are you making the same? Are you making the same threat this year?
Yeah, I don't have any insider knowledge. Unfortunately,
I bring that up to say you said that last year, and in retrospect, that was clearly untrue. You lied to my face on air, and I just.
What are you talking about?
I want to call you out for that. There were a number of things that it was just like listening to the whole prediction stuff where like you skirted clear of stuff and just what you said and like in conversations that we had along that was like, oh, that was – he totally lied right there. He was lying. He knew what he was doing. One point where you actually said I probably shouldn't say anything about this because like you like couldn't figure out a quick maneuver to get around the topic, but – yeah, I'm just calling you out on the carpet right now. You can't trust James when it comes to HP predictions, or I should say, it's the things he doesn't say that are as important as the things he does.
So I'm not aware of something I know that I should not share. I should put it that way. I will share freely as far as I mean, unless you trigger something and I go ooh, but at least right now I'm. So you gotta understand, like
nobody,
a year ago,
nobody ever sets out to lie, James. It's always in the heat of emotion when you realize you're caught.
You gotta understand. A year ago, I was working part time on a product development team, and so I was talking to all the R&D people. So I knew a lot more a year ago than now. I'm in the current business of things, so I know what our future printers are going to be on the inkjet side, I guess, but you know, big deal. They're going to be faster.
I'm going to say, I'll tell you what. I was going to say, we're not going to be making those predictions because let's face it, that's boring. The only thing, that's not true, James. We will come around to that because
We'll get there.
I'll tell you why in a second. So I'll finish as I finish the show open. If you want to follow us on social media, because we do that sort of thing. We talk about shows we're going to, you know, New Year's Eve's celebration, weddings and the like. If you want to check us out, my Twitter handle is at Matthew D. Furlow. My Instagram, which is more important because it's a bigger social network now, is any next Wigan 4. Wigan has two G's.
I love that you love pointing out the fact that Instagram is bigger than Twitter.
You know, every week for the last couple of weeks.
I know. And I like it. You're just mean like that. It's funny. that just says something about Facebook, too. Fun fact, If This Then That cannot post content onto Instagram. It can only take content from Instagram.
Ah, prime mover. That's what you call that.
It's annoying. That's what I call it.
That too.
Because I do these, you know, I write blog posts and I want to, and I'm like, and every blog post I do, I have a picture on it. I'm like, oh, that'd be good to put on Instagram. And no, it doesn't work that way.
Bummer.
I have to manually do it, which is lame.
That is very lame.
So there you go.
Instagram a subsidiary of Facebook.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Facebook lets me publish stuff directly. So I have a blog, actually. It's called OutsideTheRatRace.com. I just posted my review of my 2014 goals there, and I did okay. I struggled with the don't do goals. I did well with the do goals.
Yeah, I know you failed on one particularly large one, right?
I did. The don't spend more than $2,000 on an item. Failed miserably.
That is one that, you know, I don't think anybody holds against you except yourself. You're your own worst critic.
Well, it's funny though. Even Jesse's like, it's a separate legal entity. It shouldn't count. All right.
Fair enough.
Still, it's the principle of it, okay?
That's funny. Yeah. That's clever.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So there's that. And then so they're OutsideTheRatRace.com, which if you go to JamesFurlow.com, it links to every single one of those posts there. Plus you'll see everything else. Twitter's at James Furlow. Instagram is also James Furlow, since I guess it's bigger than Twitter now. Mm-hmm. I feel like there should be another one. Oh, Pinterest is another one that that cannot push content to. Which I thought was weird. Which I'm technically on there, I guess, but since I can't push content to it,
I think that's all Twitter's fault, honestly. Back when they first opened up all their API to, like, anybody pushing to them, and they crashed their servers early on as a result because they got so much usage. And I wonder if that's just a – I know I my guess is with Instagram, that's a feature that, you know, they went so light early on. They were doing so little, you know, from a – creating a comprehensive thing just to protect their servers. And I wonder if it's just turned into...
And then they were just got big point. And popular and didn't have to worry about it.
Nobody's asked them to, so they
have. Well, I'm asking them now.
It's official. Let's mark that down.
Asked. Check.
It's funny. I haven't thought at all about my 2014 New Year's resolutions because there was really only
15
one.
15 or 14, dude. 14. You're going to do this all night.
Okay. No, 14. Resolutions. I haven't really thought about them at all because.
Just so you guys know, in the pre-show, Matthew's flubbed that one twice already. So right? I don't know what he's talking about.
It's one of these years.
I'll get it in context, just like a yo.
Exactly. All right. That's a pretty good joke. I don't even thought about it because there's one particularly, there was like four big things that I wanted to do and only one of the four that I actually really cared about. And that was the one I didn't do. And I kind of set myself up emotionally for
get a what girlfriend
that would,
or
what is that? It? No, that's easy. I wanted to publish my book, and I'd kind of self-stated that as a, this is the year to do it. Like, I had nothing on the horizon to stop me. And if I didn't do it this year, man, that really means like I must not actually care that much. And I it's funny in retrospect, I don't like what that, the only deal is that I've actually got all the money saved. I don't want to get into it. It's stupid.
Yeah.
So I'm not even bothering with resolutions this year is what I'm saying.
That's fair. Hey, are we doing a Tough Mudder this year? Because I have it on my goals to do a half marathon, and I might do half marathon / Tough Mudder, depending on...
I'd love to do one with you, but there's none in above Tahoe on the West Coast. So you'd have to travel a lot. I would do it with you, but...
Think about it.
You're gonna
have a kid on the way.
I know.
Think about it.
I know. So anyways, but you know what, James? Let's talk more generally about 2015. So we want to tease this.
Yes.
So this is awesome. Very excited. This is our annual prediction show. We did our post predictions last week where we graded ourselves and we did amazingly well. I mean, like better than anybody else does. Like it's ridiculous. Like, if you want to know what's going to happen in 2015 before CES, before Apple announcements, before Google I/O, before everything else, this is the show to listen to because we are very good at this. This is what you should stick around for. That being said, we do have something we're going to do after our 2015 predictions, and that is sort of pay homage to one of our mutually favorite movies, Back to the Future. 30 years ago this year, the first Back to the Future popped, and then a couple years later, they made predictions about 2015. But for easy math, we'll just say in 1985, they predicted what would happen in 2015, 30 years later. I was watching this video about that came out in like 1990, and there was comments about it. And one of the top comments was just somebody saying, I want everybody to take a moment and realize and acknowledge the fact that 1990 was a quarter century ago.
Yeah.
Whoa. in addition to telling you precisely what will happen in the next 365 days, we will tell you what's going to be going on in 2045, another 30 years from now. And we won't do this every year. Maybe we'll revisit it in 5 years or not. Who knows?
It's hard to predict if we'll still be on here. Yeah, that's not going to stop us.
That was 30 years out. You know what? Good point. It's just how easy we'll be able to get that stream of information. It's funny. That was the subtle subtext that I wasn't trying to...
Well, you're welcome.
We've made it 3 years. Like, wow. That's pretty, you know... That's an accomplishment.
Which, if 3 years, had you asked me to predict how long we would make it, I probably wouldn't have said three.
Yeah.
I would have said 15. Like, yeah.
But, yeah, so, anyways.
Actually, I thought we'd go until I had a kid, and then I'd find a convenient excuse to stop. And so, look out for June.
No, I was going to say.
I'm going to make it work, I think.
We'll see. Hey, we'll just
not around, whatever.
We'll stick with what we normally do. This is your your 2 hour break when I look up all the articles. Oh, that's all right. That's the part I enjoy. I enjoy this. I enjoy all of it. Who am I kidding? Anyways, let's just talk about the future, James. You know what this is? I'm a little bit nervous because like as well as we've done the past 3 years, it's not actually easy to do this and confidently. It would be so easy to get a C- this year, you know? Just completely flub it. And
it's almost like what needs to happen is you need to be nursing a beard throughout the entire show.
That is on the table as an option. I had a beer with dinner and a coffee just now. So I'm like at the apex of looseness and focus.
Perfect. All right, let's do it then.
So, do we just want to start out with the...
You got a bunch of notes at the top that I don't fully understand. So
yeah, it was like, sort of
it's just happening. Is that...
Yeah, it was just a... I don't even know what that was. There were notes. Don't worry about it. I feel like we should just start with the starter. Biggest okay. company in the world seems fair to largest, you know, manufacturer in the world.
And simultaneously one of the most secretive companies in the world, which makes them fun to guess.
Yeah, ironically also the easiest to predict. True. And for reasons that we can get into when we talk about Google.
All right. I predict smartwatch.
It's a bold prediction.
Yeah. That's not really a prediction, I guess. It's going to happen. The real question is, do you think it'll be a success?
Honestly?
Preferably, no. Yeah. No, really? Now, okay, but how are you defining success?
That's always the tough question. I don't think people will think it sold as well as it should have. I think what we'll see is globally, they'll sell as many as they think they're going to sell. I think Apple will look at it as a success. I feel my gut is that they're going to produce a certain amount, a safe amount, and they'll sell them all. My gut is they're going to sell out opening weekend. You're not going to be able to, you know, if you wait to walk into the store to see which one you want, you will not be able to get one for the first week. Now that doesn't mean that they don't have enough that they can't ship it to you. You know, it's just, it might hold back supply, for the very notion of making it, you know, I just get the feeling that everybody's going to, my thought is people are going to want this to be an iPad or an iPhone, and they're going to compare the numbers accordingly. And when the numbers actually come out, it won't have done that well. It won't be like the initial iPad. It won't be this blockbuster, quote-unquote, new category of device. But I think when you compare it to other smartwatches, it'll do very well, if not the best.
So I would agree. If you were to measure, you know, smartwatch sales, Apple would be number one. That seems fairly obvious to me. Mostly because their biggest competitor, how do I want to say it? So they've got two big competitors, right? They've got Motorola and then Samsung, in my opinion, on the Android front. Samsung's, they've got issues. And I don't think they're going to be able to deliver and compete effectively on the watch front, because they're trying to go like, oh no, we're in trouble. Because what's the company? It's like Xiaomi.
Yeah.
I still can't pronounce their name.
Xiaomi, I think it is.
Yeah. They kind of came out of nowhere and I think are just trouncing all over Samsung. And Samsung's going, oh my gosh, we thought we were in a fight with Apple and it turns out we're not and we're losing.
Yeah.
And so I think they're just going like, okay.
Yeah. And they thought the price umbrella that Apple was going to set was going to be this, like, you know, oh, $350 was going to be the super high end, so we just have to beat that by $150 and, you know, $100-$150 and we'll look super cheap, not expecting to have set the price umbrella for Xiaomi. And that, yeah, it's been bad news for Samsung on the watch front.
Yeah, and then I think, you know, Motorola, we'll see. I mean, that they'll probably come up with a good watch, but I think we've already seen the sales numbers there, and they're not going to suddenly precipitously grow. So I think you're going to watch. Apple is just going to surpass Pebble. You know, rumor is Pebble's not releasing any new hardware this year, so they're kind of, whatever, doing their thing.
Yeah.
HP is coming out with theirs. I'd be shocked if it'll sell okay, like all of HP's stuff does.
Yeah, it's funny. I feel like we're gonna need to. Okay, I'm gonna open up the lid on this one right now, because I feel like this is a general purpose discussion of the future of smartwatches in 2015. Because, you know, Apple obviously is you know, going to be. I think everybody. I predict they'll be an Apple leader, you know, or an Apple leader, a product. You're
probably
leader.
Right.
Yes,
dude, an Apple leader. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a cool product name for something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like it has to do with pets, but Apple leader.
Like a drone that could walk your dog.
Boom.
James.
Patent that idea right now.
Right? I can't believe I just said that live on YouTube. oh man, I was
talking about a brilliant idea just in general.
I was talking to one of my friends about our Drone Wars idea that we talked about a couple weeks back, and we got done talking about it, and he works for NBC, and so you already know who I'm talking about. And he was like really excited about it, is trying to find like actual clients to work who could do like production scale stuff. And I'm like, I thought it was a cool idea. I don't know. And like, as we got done the conversation, he turns to me and he says, the one thing you got to do is make sure not to talk about it on your podcast. I was like,
well, yeah, about that.
I hate to be this way, but did I mention I talked about it with James? Because I'll give you a hint. There's probably one place we talked about it. I don't know. I think smartwatches, you're going to watch this, man, a flood of announced smartwatches and all sorts of different stuff that are going to come out, and the expectation is not to sell any. Not to be these market leaders. It's just to have something out there to actually muddy the water, which ironically is really what helped the iPhone between, I think, in like late 2008 through 2011 continue to be the major market mover, because it wasn't really until then that Samsung had really started to differentiate itself and become a major player. And so now people could sort of more easily come in and say, you know, there's two options. You either get the Galaxy S whatever or the iPhone whatever S. And you know, because there's really a problem of choice. You know, it's funny. They do studies of like how satisfied people are when they're given a ton of choices versus no choices. And you'd think if there's a ton of different choices, somebody should be able to find precisely what they want. Therefore, they'll be more satisfied. But what you actually find is there's this inverse problem of there's so many different choices that you can't, and you actually want multiple different things. And so by having so much choice, you actually end up dissatisfied with your individual choices. And it's not until there's a few market leaders, which is why we always talk about how many products can the market bear. There's only so many options people can really deal with, and it's usually two, because we're simple beings. And I think the fact that HP has a watch and Tag Heuer has a watch and, you know, Motorola has a watch and Samsung has a watch and Xiaomi has a watch and Fitbit has a watch and everybody has a watch, it's actually going to play hugely in favor of the one that gets the most media of attention, which is the Apple Watch. And that, more than anything, is why they'll be a market leader, even if there's a better device out there. I think also, you know, pricing, I'm not moving from, I'm sticking with my man who echoed my thoughts, John Gruber, on pricing. I just wanted to let you all know that I said it first. That's right, John. When it comes to, I think obviously the cheapest one will be $350 with a single band. I'll bet you'll be paying upwards almost $100 for an extra band. For the next band, the plastic ones,
$70. Yeah,
I'll bet the plastic ones are $60-$70, and I'll bet like if you buy like an aluminum one, I bet it could be $150. Like, it'll just be crazy to be able to trick out your watch with your different bodies. But I think your stainless steel watch, yeah, man, just gonna come in right between $900 and $1,000, and then, I'm saying that the rose gold one costs somewhere in the ballpark of $5,000 plus or minus 10%. yeah, I'm gonna say probably should give myself like a 20% variance. It's a tough call to make.
Yeah, I agree with you for all the reasons that you stated. I it's going to sound weird. Like, I think the smartwatch market will look largely the same unless you're Apple.
Yeah.
And theirs will suddenly, it's going to look very similar to what Apple Pay did, right? Where they didn't change the market much for paying with your phone. But now all of a sudden there's people out there who are using Apple Pay. Mm-hmm. And it'll be even to a more extreme degree, just because it's now this thing on your wrist instead of this thing you keep forgetting that's in your pocket. But not me. Not me. I look every time.
Yeah.
But it drives me nuts that Home Depot doesn't accept it, even though it's got the signal and it says swipe or tap on the machine. You're killing me, Home Depot. Come on. Don't tease me.
Yeah.
Anyways.
They just want to be an easy target for hackers. That's their goal.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think they're going to sell at least 1 million watches. It could be as high as 30 million watches, not the year.
Okay, I was going to say, because 1 million sounds awfully low for what they're predicting. I think worldwide you could see 30 million pretty easily. But yeah. The fact that it's, you know, they've done a big, I read a poll, somebody did a poll, and it was like 5% of Apple Watch owners are sure they're going to get a watch. And which is a pretty huge market. I mean, you know, but it's, I don't know. I get the feeling that it's not going to be, you know, 30 million worldwide seems pretty fair. And that's a small number of devices by comparison, you know? And mm-hmm. I do wonder, I wonder about the next couple of years with it, because it's like, you know, one of the big things with like the iPod when it first came out was it was Mac only, and it was a peripheral to that ecosystem, which allowed them to sort of structure that all. They controlled everything. They controlled the entire. It was all inside the walled garden. And then, you know, it wasn't until iTunes for PC came out that it really took off. And I do wonder if they're going to. If the long-term goal here, yeah, so you're shaking your head, is to make it compatible with Android Wear?
Nope. No way.
All right. Fair enough.
They see themselves as king of the hill. There's absolutely no reason to play nice.
Okay. All right. Do you think...
Oh, you know it's true. Come on. FaceTime. They were like, we're going to make this interoperable with everybody. Turns out the iPhone took off. What'd they do? Oh, just kidding. No, we're not.
Yeah.
One of the biggest disappointments of my life.
Yeah. It's rough. It's rough.
Yeah, this isn't the 2015 wish list, bud. This is
I guarantee it won't happen this year. I guarantee it won't happen this year. I would say earliest, you know, 2016, and that's highly unlikely. I'd say if it's on their roadmap, it's on their roadmap for 2017. But it's, you know, I'd only give it a. I will say this. I think they will have built the Android app that lets it. That allows it to happen. And they'll just
keep it. An Android developer will have written the app that allows it to happen.
Well, yeah, that too. But I mean, I think internally Apple will have asked the question, how difficult will it be to make this happen? If there's huge demand and there's, you know, if there's $1 billion on the table, because everybody wants one and it is the future of mobile communication, but it still requires a discrete internet signal and all we need is a Bluetooth connection, where are they left?
You're thinking about it a little. That's not the way that they think. They don't care about the numbers and how many. I mean, of course they want more people to use it, but they're not going to look at this other market over here and go, oh my gosh, low-hanging fruit, untapped market, let's go after it. I think they're going to say, you know what, we've got a huge piece of the pie already. And you can see this with continuity, where it's like, let's just make the ecosystem work better and better and better. So the people that we have never leave. And as people defect from this other group, they're going to get sucked in and they're never going to leave. We're going to make it work all seamlessly. Instead of watching it suddenly work with Android devices, they're going to focus more on like, okay, how do we get this thing to work with a Mac? How do we get this to interface, you know, seamlessly between your phone, your tablet, and your Mac.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of, you know, that's going to be their focus.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. And I still strongly stand by the idea that I think the long term, the decade long term arc of mobile device compatibility is for things to move in the direction of to split the iPhone, to eat the iPhones, you know, the smartphones market, become tablets and watches. They'll both have their own internet connectivity, and how exactly that works so that we can afford it, I'm not sure. I've proposed a couple of different options and, what that could look like. But I think the ultimate reality is the fact that, yeah, I think that's what it becomes. And if your watch is a completely discrete system, then there is no necessity for interplay. The word's right there on my tongue.
Interoperable?
Yeah, interoperable. So the only reason why it is interoperable with the iPhone, honestly, I think, is because they couldn't figure out, they couldn't put a 3G antenna into the watch and save the battery life and size. If they could have done that, they would have. Make it a completely independent device, I think. But, and that's my humble opinion. Okay. That's the Apple Watch. So I guess what we're coming to today is, are there any other big surprises that come out when the thing is announced for like an official final launch day?
You mean related to the Apple Watch?
Yeah.
Obviously the SDK, we have the watch, the pricing is going to be good. I bet they do something with the Apple TV at the same time.
Whoa, I know. I meant specifically an Apple Watch feature that they've kept in the wings.
I was confused by your question, as you could tell.
Fair enough.
I know what you're saying. Where it's like with the SDK, when they release that, they tend to forget to tell you about something like, say, Apple Pay.
Exactly.
And then when the actual hardware gets released, they go, oh, yeah, PS, you can make payments now.
BT does.
It was there all along. We just didn't tell you.
Yeah.
No, because they didn't do that with the iPhone when it first came out. They kind of told you all about it, and then they just released it. I don't see anything.
Yeah, but that was crazy. Steve Jobs.
Yeah, I still
don't.
Nah. I think they'll just be a recap, and they'll show you how everything works and refinements. And I mean, they're obviously, like I said, they're going to do another press thingy where they invite everybody to try it out.
Yeah,
which is why they're going to tie it in with something. Just that all by itself doesn't feel like it would be enough. But they're going to tell you about, the photos thing. They'll release that. They'll bundle it with a couple different things that they're going to put together for it. No, I don't see any surprise features or anything that we don't know about already.
That's sort of the definition of a surprise, that it's surprising. So I wouldn't be surprised if we were surprised, but I
would be very surprised if we were surprised.
I hear you. I can't imagine what it would be is my problem. They've already hit the entire wish list. The biggest thing will be pricing.
Battery life, pricing.
Told us what the battery life is, in not so specific a term. I don't think they'll ever come out and tell you what they think the battery life is. I think if they can get away with saying you got to charge it every day and never tell you what the actual battery life is, they will.
They would. I agree. But I could just see where they say, it's every other day, or somehow they squeak out more than what we all thought they were going to be able to squeak out.
Yeah, I could see that. That'd be pretty cool. But that's wishful thinking, I think. I think they're going to stick with the you got to charge it every day. And users like me will say, yeah, you got to charge it every day. I think let's see here. Yeah, okay. All right. I feel like I don't have anything else hanging out there on that one.
Okay, so like I've already alluded to, I think they're going to do something new with Apple TV. I don't know what. I think, and I'm thinking, I feel like in my bones, and maybe it's because I'm going to get one later this year. more wishful thinking.
I was going to say, you know who you remind me of, James? a younger me.
I don't know. They could do just a regular refresh, but I feel like there's something more.
I do see something is obviously coming to a head with the whole smart TV puck thing. Between Android TV and the Nexus TV, being launched with the discrete controller and the, third party apps and this and that, and Amazon, the Amazon Fire TV doing the same thing, yep, and selling very well. More importantly, both of them have the, and the Chromecast and all of that. Like, it's getting to the point where I like my Apple TV because my whole ecosystem is the Apple TV. But at this point, if I could figure out a way to play iTunes videos on, let me put it to this way. There's enough room on top of my Mac Mini to fit an Apple TV and an Amazon Fire TV. or a Nexus. I don't know if there's room for all three, but
what you're saying is it's no longer the best device. Now you're sticking with it for that exact reason that I said earlier, because of the ecosystem, which is what they want. To me, that kind of stuff bugs Apple.
Yes, I agree. And it's because it's, it was a magnet. It is now no longer a magnet. It's an anchor. And it drew people to the ecosystem. It no longer does that. And the fact that it doesn't have a lot of openness is actually can act as a repellent for people. If I were coming into this game fresh and I were looking at the entire ecosystem, I would look at the Apple TV as a negative, whereas I wouldn't look at that way as with the Nexus and the Amazon Fire TV, because it's not as powerful, it's not as expansive, and I would sit there and go, there are better options for doing everything, and Apple is going to have to deal with that. I like to think of Apple as the type of company that has things waiting what is going on, man?
So my wife is, part of her goals this year is to train our dogs some tricks.
Yeah.
And so she had a package of string cheese that she was in the kitchen just kind of, holding and waving back and forth. And so my dog was just like passed out on the couch. And he heard it and just kind of like popped up. I was like, what? What is that? He loves cheese.
Oh.
And string cheese specifically. And so.
Oh, who doesn't?
I know, right? Yeah, he loves it. Okay. And so I was just watching him kind of react and then. And literally, like, bound off the couch to get in on the string cheese. That's what I was looking at. I'm sorry. But I was listening. Right,
it was a bit distracting, but I believed you were listening. You just kept looking back and forth like you're watching a tennis match.
kind of was.
Yeah, right. I guess the point here is that it's like, there is something going on that Apple is going to need to deal with in order to keep this as a selling point, and I think that there are options between a new media service and a new piece of hardware, which is what a lot of that's where everybody's been wanting for the last couple of years is we want the new Apple TV. We want it to have some cool, to be the cable breaker and to have a new piece of glass associated with it.
Well, and I'm not even saying that. I could still see it as a puck, no piece of glass, potentially adding an input system to it, but more importantly, opening it up to more apps and stuff.
That, I think, is, to me, third-party apps is going to be...
Yeah, that'd be huge.
They're doing it on everything else. They've literally done it on every other device that they own, that they manufacture. The Apple Watch has third-party support. The iPad has third-party support. The iPhone has third-party support. Every line of OS X has third-party support. The Apple TV is the lone device without a store third-party support. And that's the other frustrating part, is Netflix is a third-party app that's being supported on every single TV station. There is a third-party support. And I could imagine they using a new software set as a reason to sell, you know, next generation devices and stuff, and say, you know, we're drawing a hard line in the sand. If you want to be able to play games on your Apple TV, but they have so, I honestly think the big reason why they haven't done it yet is because they desperately don't want to be, to go toe to toe with the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4. That's like their biggest thing. They don't want
to. Which, by the way, how come they don't have an open SDK in the App Store on those devices?
Well, they kind of do. Well, I guess they don't.
Well, did you see there was news this week that Microsoft actually has an SDK and it got leaked out to the public?
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, and so it's, they don't. And maybe potentially they're heading that direction, which would be interesting. But we'll talk about that later.
I get the feeling that, yeah, you know, it's funny. I mean, there is third party support, right? There is on it. Yeah.
Right.
You want to know the biggest reason for it, James, is because video game systems tend like the, I knew this is true. This was definitely true with the 360, the Xbox 360. It was actually three different operating systems that were all working in conjunction. There was, right, the boot interface, the boot operating system. There was the, you know, third party app there was the interface operating system, which had all of the different, like, you know, Netflix and stuff like that. And then there was the video game operating system that was booted from the other operating systems. And so that's the biggest reason why it is because it's actually, they're these discrete operating systems, and it makes a lot of sense to set one down in stone while the other one's very flexible and fluid, and one's an open SDK while the other ones aren't, stuff like that. And that's the reason. And I could see Apple do that. Like, say the interface is like, this is our world. The channels are our world. And one of the channels is a boot to third-party games or third-party stuff. And those are all highly controlled by, you know, our app store policies. And so they can do what the Xbox effectively does and the PlayStation does, which is these highly controlled, confined, ecosystems where they control everything in the interface. You can't build a game that will play on it without spending, you know, without paying the licensing fees. Like, there are so many hoops you got to jump through to break the system in order to allow, to sideload effectively, allow third party games that aren't built with their explicit permission. You've got to break the machine in order to do that, get access to the secret APIs and stuff. Why Apple wouldn't do that with the Apple TV is the only reason I can think of, is because they, you know, obviously it will not compete from a hardware perspective with the PlayStation or the Xbox or the, you know, or Nintendo. And so, right, their whole thing is they don't want, they, you know, and that's what happened with the iPod Touch caught them by surprise. They've stated that out loud. They didn't think of it as a video game platform, and they got really lucky that it was way more powerful than the Nintendo Game Boy offerings at the time. And so they were able to survive and thrive in that ecosystem, whereas they know they're not going to be caught off guard by that, and they will be crushed by, you know, their competitor hardware, because that's not what it's designed for. And I think that they've been very, very cautious of that. But now that there's this sort of like secondary ecosystem of video game capable TV plug-in devices with the Nexus and Android, that kind of gives them more of a, you know, I think that gives them the space to do that. We will be frustrated by it, I think. You will see where there are 1,000 games for, you know, for the Nexus TV and Android TV type devices. The Apple TV will have a much smaller offering, because I think Apple's going to really tightly control what can get on it. That would be my guess. But, man, it's hard to think that if – now, this is my thing. There's one of two things that are going to happen. They're either going to do it or they're not. If they do it, I will probably come with a new piece of hardware. If they don't do it, it will be viewed as the biggest mistake of 2016 or 2015 that Apple will have done. And by 2016, investors will just have a drumbeat coming because I think it's going to dry up sales of the Apple TV. And people are just going to say, look, I realize it was a hobby, but come on. You were the leader and you're getting destroyed by everybody else who have come in and all they've done is open up the software. Like, you could do this, Apple. We believe in you.
There's so much, like, they've shown so much aptitude with integrating devices. Again, I'm thinking like continuity type stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, you can imagine you're watching a TV show and text messages are popping up on your screen, or phone calls or emails, whatever. You know, that's all there and you can read that live. You're able to control your Apple TV with your watch, you know, scrolling through channels and choosing them. They have a potential here to integrate it so tightly that that you just go, dude, this makes it so easy. Where they're almost like they get rid of the remote, you know, like, yeah, we got one just in case this is the first Apple product you buy, but no, not really.
So
you know what I mean?
I lost mine, my Apple remote, like 3 months ago when I rearranged my room, and it's somewhere in my room. I just have no idea where, and it didn't bother me at all. Like didn't even notice until I was messing around with my network settings because I was using my phone as the remote and I've been doing it forever and it worked fine. And it actually works better in a lot of ways because like when you go into search with a text field, you just type. But I accidentally deleted my network settings and Wi-Fi needs to be on in order for it to connect to your iPhone as a remote. So I haven't been able to use my Apple TV and this morning, I was thinking about it. I was like, I just need to go buy a new remote. They're super cheap. This is so stupid that I'm not using my device because my TV is useless.
I thought you could connect directly via Bluetooth. You didn't need...
You're supposed to be able to, but part of the problem is I think you can do it with like the first time you like a completely reset, like everything, you know, it's completely vanilla experience, but mine's partially set up. And so it's like, you know, you do need the remote for that, which is, you know, happens.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I don't know.
So you're saying they're going to do that big. I'm going to say, I don't think they're going to.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to open up third party SDK. I think you might get some continuity stuff. I think you're going to get more HomeKit stuff. And you'll get announcements about what it can do with HomeKit.
Yes. What if that's your home hub? We've talked about this before.
Well, they clearly stated that's what they want it to be. And I think they'll.
Oh, did they?
I think so.
Cool.
I thought so.
Good. Good for them.
That is clearly what they want it to be. I could see them take progress in that, but I think by 2016, there's going to be a thunderous beat to do something about the Apple TV.
So you're not thinking this year. You're thinking all the other boxes kind of caught them by surprise, and it's going to take them a year to catch up.
Yep.
All right.
I'm nervous about that.
That's too conservative, man. They're going to do something. It will probably not be as cool as I want it to be. But they're going to.
Do you think they'll do a third-party SDK? SDK. A developer's kit.
I really want them to.
Me too. I'd love them to. Oh my gosh. You have no
idea. I feel like not knowing anything about what it takes to develop an SDK.
yeah.
I feel like they've already kind of got one where they're just like, you know, it's some of it's simplified. It's iOS, but the simplification of Apple Watch. And it just takes Swift and that's it. You know what I mean? And just like done. Just put that together, put it out there. Big deal.
I would say
the screen resolution's an issue, and I don't know how you get around that. But
yeah, there's a couple of different things that, except the box knows. One of the cool parts about HDMI is that it like tells you what it is. You know, it's the Apple TV knows what its resolution is. It knows it. You know what I could see? I could see a Oh, I just had a thought. Because there's obviously a 4K version of this somewhere waiting in the wings. Everything else has moved to that. Everything else has moved to that. They're selling more and more 4K TVs. It's like, this isn't – 4K is not 3D. It is the next generation of TVs, and it's going that way, and they're going to be around for a while, which means Apple TV will have to have a 4K output, which means it's going to have a more powerful processor, which means new piece of hardware. At that point, they could easily, like I've said, draw a line in the sand and say the new piece of hardware is capable of playing a certain level of games. It's got the A8 in it, so it's got the graphics capability of the iPhone, and you know, it's just pretty graphically intense. And I could see that. I could see that. Oh man, now I'm coming back around on this, because it's like, that is obviously, that I think is the step. Now the question is it this year?
Yes. I think it's the first half of this year.
Wow. That is bold.
Okay. They got to do something else with the watch. They're not going to refresh iPads or
No.
Apple 5K, Apple Air Retina thingy.
Watch gets its own thing. Nothing else gets announced with it. Oh, yeah. Guarantee it.
You just think Cook is that pumped about it, huh?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I think they think it's that big of a deal. And yeah, I'll bet you get a 4K Apple TV this year. Okay.
Again, not a piece of glass, but a 4K capable Apple TV.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So hey, you're coming into my camp.
Yeah.
They're going to release something this year.
Yeah. So,
you're just going to kick yourself later in the year if I'm wrong. Yeah. Oh, I was right, James, and you talked me into it.
Yeah, I'll give myself a C. Because I'm still, you know, I've got my dual predictions. I don't actually think this is going to happen, but if we take the alternate path, this is where we'll be in 2016. It will be a thunderous drumbeat. So okay, what about Beats by Dr. Dre?
I think whatever products have been in the pipeline will continue to go through. I think the hardware will improve, but I think the main focus will be on doing the radio thing, but Beats-wise, better.
Does it all come under the iTunes roof?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no question about it. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I keep coming back and forth on that. I could see them preserve the brand, man.
I think they will for the hardware.
Oh yeah, for the hardware, no doubt. For the software, I could see it happen though, because they've made no move to get rid of the brand already, and I think I don't know what they're gonna do. They got to do something with it because it's kind of quagmired right now, but.
It's just going to be in iTunes. I mean, it might be its own app. I could see that, but it's going to be like iTunes or Apple or whatever. You know, Apple Radio or something. I don't know.
I think Apple they already have. I think they already have a product called that.
Well, they do, or iTunes Radio. You know, which is free, ad supported.
Yeah, the whole goal is to make it an Instagram, or not an Instagram,
Spotify.
Spotify-style competitor.
So I think it'll have a different name, but that's...
An iTunes-branded name?
Yes, yeah.
I don't think they're done with it, but I don't know what's next for it. I get a feeling. I get this weird. I think Jimmy Iovine and Mr. Dre have, you know, obviously they're working with Apple. They're still trying to. They're trying to set something up, I think, and you know, continue to put it in, turn it into a bigger and bigger product. But I don't see a sweeping single iTunes style solution. I think the record companies and Miss Swift as a big standout on that, like the idea of keeping those services kind of separated. And I think that the music industry is more comfortable, is the bigger the gulf between them, the more comfortable they are. You know, they want to keep the really high value services like iTunes as far from Spotify as possible. And I think I actually get the feeling that it's a big enough of a, there's a huge incentive for artists to say, no, if we're going to be available on both, we want people to feel like we're kind of different. And I could actually see Apple's compromise be, look, it's going to be a completely different service with a completely different, it's not, they're not going to bring, you know, it's like iTunes Match, iTunes Radio, that's all one bill. $25 a month covers everything for, you know, ad-free iTunes Radio and iTunes Match. But I think they'll keep a separate.
Is your iTunes Radio ad-free?
Yeah.
Whoa.
I've never heard an ad on iTunes Radio. I don't know what they advertise.
All sorts of stuff.
Yeah. Is it anything
good? Usually other albums.
I believe that. Yeah. I use Spotify and iTunes Radio are my two primary music services.
Pandora's out.
Oh, yeah. Pandora's been out since iTunes Radio came out. I dabbled with it a little bit, but it's completely from an actual like finding new music perspective. I actually think iTunes Radio does better, and Spotify does all my kind of, yeah. If I want to listen to the whole album, I go to Spotify. If I want to find new music, I go to iTunes Radio. And if I want to make sure I own the music forever, I buy it. And it's a couple 10, 20 songs a semester, as it were. Yeah.
Fun fact, when I make pizza or pasta, I turn Pandora onto the classic Italian radio station.
Oh, that's kind of awesome.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah. Oh,
that's my main use case for Pandora.
That's funny. I don't know. I think it stays separate, honestly. I think it stays separate. Separate billing, separate everything. I think
Because of the artists. You think it'll still have the Beats name to it?
Yeah.
Huh.
I think they'll keep it as I think you might see closer integration where it feels the actual gulf between the two, where it's not just like a separate nothing of an app. I think they will do something with it to really push it all of a sudden. They're going to do something this year to say, like, this is our new service. Check it out. It's awesome. I don't know exactly what that looks like, but they'll do something along those lines to get people's attention. It'll come with a marketing blitz, and they'll do something to try to pull people away from Spotify. And
you think this is going down this year, not next year?
I think so. But Beats will
do it that fast
as a marketing thing. Yeah. I don't know. I think it'll be mostly marketing to try to pull people towards, you know, just.
Okay. Yeah. They probably already got the product built. Now it's a matter of negotiations and stuff.
Exactly. To me, I got this. But I mean, have you ever used Beats?
No.
It's a good product. Like, the only reason why I don't use it is because at that point I was already paying for Spotify, and you kind of gotten used to that one. And at the time I was sort of thinking, I'm going to wait till they bring all the financing together. So one bill for all of their music services. And even if it's month to month, that's when I would get into it. But as time has gone by, I don't think they're going to do it. But just as a service and its ability to replicate what Spotify does, it's fine. It's not, I mean, Spotify does some things better, but Beats does some things better. And so, I don't know. I don't think they're far from, and maybe I'm wrong because I didn't use it a lot, but that was my couple days experience. So, I don't know. No sé. But I guess, so this is a big, so, you know, for obvious questions, because we got to get these out of the way, Mac, iPhone, iPads, iOS 8, iOS 9, OS X, Redding.
Dude, here's my guess. iOS X is where, like...
Really? You think they're already there?
No, I think they're on iOS 9 this year. I think next year they're looking towards iOS X as the true convergent time period.
So Apple's got a problem right now, I think. Yeah, I think they've got a... I think they've got a bunch of malfunctioning software out there. I think every major piece of software they've launched in 2014 has been a bigger set of failures, you know, just actual buggy, poorly engineered pieces of software, and at an accelerating pace. iTunes Match works in principle, but... I have replicated songs in my iTunes libraries that I can't understand. I bought it from iTunes. Why do I have two copies of this song? And it's just something weird that iTunes Match has done. They've got stuff where it's like, you know, just the Wi-Fi stuff not working on OS X still for people. It's just unbelievable.
Does it work for you?
It works pretty much. Well, except I've got this like major conflict with Hue, and I can't figure out if it's Hue or not. But occasionally I have to unplug my Hue in order to get Wi-Fi to work reliably. Apple TV, there's, and this I think is partly Comcast's fault, but I'm blaming Apple. The reason I was messing with my network settings is because Apple wasn't streaming their movies to my Apple TV. Works on my iPhone, works on my iPad, works on my Mac Mini, wasn't working on my Apple TV. What's the deal, yo? You know, so it's obviously not necessarily Comcast. Is Comcast specifically throttling Apple TV style data? You go online and they're all like, all of the complaints are, it's when it's connected to Comcast, when the Apple TV is connected to Comcast, it doesn't work.
Uh-oh.
What's the deal there, yo? And, you know, it's stuff like that. And I actually think I've heard a couple of pundits say, Apple doesn't need to come out with a new operating system every year. It would actually be okay for them to skip OS X this year and just do more iterative improvements. And more minor. Do what Google did with when they came out with 4.6 instead of... Everybody thought they were going to come out with Android 5, but they came out with 4.6 instead. You know, man, I could see Apple hanging around with Yosemite for a bit longer, because they're having a hard time keeping up with all of these year after year after year changes. And I don't know what's going on. I don't know why it's going on, but at some point they've got to catch up. They got to get everything, you know, fixed. And maybe they can do that while having, you know, a new name for the next generation of system. But that sets certain expectations of what the next one will look like. And I don't know. I don't think they're ready to have a unified operating system, though. I still think there's a lot of advantages to having the two different ecosystems.
I guess I was thinking in terms of the iPad Pro, that being the unified operating system. Okay, I can see where they're not going to come out with a new operating system this year, which I guess would make sense. They'll have some sort of refinement of some sort.
Yeah.
I can see that.
You know, maybe they would just put a new name on it anyways and give it away for free, so why wouldn't you, you know, people won't be super upset. But, you know, I'm basically a virus definition patch with a new name.
Yeah, I could see them starting to do that with iOS too.
Yeah, it's hard to see. It's hard to really answer the question of what comes next. You know, what's going to be the new cool feature for the iPhone 6S and iPhone 6 Plus S? iPhone 6S Plus. That's what it'll be called. 6S Plus. 6S Plus.
6S Plus. Jeez. Yeah, what will those new features be? You know, better camera, of course. I'm still holding out for the dual camera. Oh, that would be amazing.
3D?
No, just helps to take better photos.
No. You know, they did buy that one 3D company, that one company that does 3D junk.
Stolen now for Haptic, too.
Yeah. You know, it's
not
funny.
Not going to happen, but I want it.
I think, you know, you're right. Well, but they might put the Haptic engine that they put into the Apple Watch into it.
That would be cool.
So it does better vibrating.
And it has the force touch thing?
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, it would be cool. It's getting super hard to guess what comes next with the iPhones. It's getting really hard because it's just like, okay, it's gonna have a better. It'll have the A9 processor in it. Cool. It'll, you know, there's still not gonna be wireless technology. You know, there's not gonna be a wireless power solution, I don't think. There's not gonna be a, you know, I don't know. iPad, what are they going to do to rejuvenate sales of the iPad?
Oh, dude, iPad Pro. I thought they were going to come out with it this year. And I was sorely disappointed.
Yeah, they could come out with it this year. I don't know what it would look like.
13 inches of glorious screen real estate.
Yeah, the operating system's the big question. You know, do you... Because honestly, at this point, it's funny. I mean, the Surface has set himself up for just to get beat down by...
Yeah, I see it's running OS... No, it's running iOS, but allows for multitasking, multiple apps to a screen. You know, they've got a new smart cover that has a keyboard in it type thing, which would probably... It would be what Microsoft Surface wanted theirs to be. And yeah. You just go, oh, how come we didn't think of that?
Yeah.
I could see, I mean, that would be a big deal. And now all of a sudden you are talking multitasking types of things. And you go, ah, interesting. And that's all they have to do. And that would be exciting. I just think they're going to continue down that continuity line as well. Just keep, you know, they are separate apps, but they're all talking with each other. You know, could you imagine like a continuity SDK type thing? That would be interesting. Maybe that already exists. That would, I just missed it.
That would be interesting. Yeah, I don't know, man. I just, it's tough. It's a tough...
They're just going to be, you know, this is an S series, right? So it's easy. Better battery, you know, better processor and graphics and things like that. It's going to stay the same size, pretty much the same profile. It'd be a little bit better camera. It would be cool to do the dual camera thing. I think there's a high probability of that actually happening, just because you're starting to get the feeling like they're reaching their potential on the, you know, besides just coming out with a bigger camera thingy majigger. I don't know. I guess you can do two. I don't know. Outside of that, do they need to do much more?
You see, that's the big question. I don't think they do. I've like, at this point, you know, what's weird is that usually at this point, there's everybody's asking for something, right?
Apple Pay, what's more? It called?
Oh, the NFC. I could see that happening. I could see them start giving third-party support for that, you know, and say, but no payments. You can't do third-party payment with it. You can only do...
Well, you can't pay with our system. You know, like Square or PayPal, you know, if you got your own thing, cool.
If you got your own hardware, yeah, but you can't use the inbuilt NFC to do financial stuff, and they'll just say that as part of their Apple, you know, as their...
Yeah, well, what's interesting about this, so when Apple came out with AirPrint, you know, the ability to print through iOS, mm-hmm. you had to go through these certification things, and you know, it was crazy, and at first nobody had AirPrint except for one company, and that was HP. And the reason why is because they had what was called self-authenticating print, and so it wasn't officially AirPrint, but it was, if you downloaded the ePrint app, essentially that was able to connect via Wi-Fi direct to the printer,
mm-hmm.
and then send a print job through the app to the printer. So it technically was not using AirPrint, but allowed you to print from your phone.
Right.
And so, you know, when Apple was saying you have to meet all these specs and you have to do it this way in order to enable AirPrint, HP was able to get around it. And so I could see a company like Square doing the same thing where it's like, well, if you want to make a payment, you got to open up the Square app.
Yeah.
And then we do have a thing that acts as both a card swipe and an NFC touch thing. And, you know, but you got to have the app open on your phone in order to do that, which has all your payment details in it. So,
yeah,
you know, I could see that it's using NFC, but it's not using the payment stuff and the secure enclave.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But and maybe not Square, but an example like that. I could see them open that up to people, definitely. You know, and again, being that it's an S series, they're not going to change any sizes or anything.
Yeah. I get the feeling that the big thing this year is going to be the Apple Watch. That's what everybody's going to be talking about and caring about. Yep. And they're not going to muddy the water with another giant product category. You know, iterative improvements to all the hardware. Well, yeah, except you just did the iPad Pro. You just said you like, man, you want some new hardware. You want a new Apple TV, new size iPad, you want everything.
Oh no, I'm saying new MacBook Air with Retina display.
Yeah, well I feel like that one's kind
of running out of Macs to make Retina.
Yeah, exactly. that's a safe bet. You know, worth stating, but it's a safe bet.
Dude, if they came out with that,
why wouldn't they?
I don't know, I'm just saying that'd be cool.
They literally have the same, it'd probably be the same LCD they have on the iPad. Like, they're totally capable of building it. It's just
an interesting idea. Yeah.
No. Yeah. I feel like that one's just they're holding off for some reason, but it's not a good one. It's just it might be as simple as just from their development cycle, they wanted something to announce at this point because they don't have anything else to fill in that gap. And so this is what we're going to announce. We won't announce it quite yet, but that one's
along with taking it down the iPad or the iMac smaller screen line as well. Yeah. They already sold it to everyone who wanted the big one, who wanted the Retina, which, man, it's a good thing I don't have a Retina Mac next to mine because I would just be sad.
Oh, yeah, right?
Oh, it was so blurry.
But, so I could see, okay.
I love how we've spent like 3/4 of the show on Apple.
I know.
We're Apple fanboys. Get over it.
They're the biggest company in the world. We can move on. So Google.
Wait. Before we do. So did we, just for completeness, did we miss anything that we think they're going to do that is worth mentioning? I feel like we were highly unstructured in this conversation, which is fine. We kind of talked about iPhones and iOS and iPads. Any new hardware that we haven't discussed that, you know, product categories that they're experimenting with? I don't see it, in my opinion.
But the only thing I haven't done, and I keep ignoring this, is that I haven't actually set up if I think you're going to do the iPad Pro or not. You've stated you do think they will. I'm sort of leaving you out there on the island all by yourself.
It's okay, man. It's okay.
I'm saying no. I don't think so.
Okay. I would agree.
Okay, good. So Google.
I love your question. What will Google kill this year?
Yeah, it's a horrifying question, but they're going to. They tried to kill Gmail this year. It's this small group of Apple or Google engineers that saved it.
You know what? I've stopped using their Inbox app. I can't do it.
Yeah.
It's confusing, honestly. The problem that I run into is that they try to guess what I think the most important email is by reshuffling everything each time. I'm always like, I don't know. What did I read last?
Yeah.
And it bugs me that I can't read something and mark as unread. Kills me. Like, what? I get one shot and then this is done? No.
It really is astounding that it took as big of a revolt of the engineers as it did to get them to keep Gmail around in parallel with Inbox. When you really take a look at how unusable it is by contrast, I don't.
How about Google Glass? Is that on the kill list this year?
I don't think so. They've already announced that Intel is going to be building hardware for them, and so I'd say no, just from that perspective. Like, we know they've got another piece of hardware planned. I think it'll be really subdued, really subdued. I'm not seeing any resurgence of excitement. I could see Google Plus being killed.
Or at least dismantled, yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's more accurate. I could see Google Plus being dismantled completely. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of stuff that they're putting. They got a team. They've already dismantled the team. You know, we asked that question earlier this year. They moved the guy that was in charge of it. What does that mean for Google Plus? Nobody's using it. You know, that was a huge push forward for them, but they've got other stuff they're doing that's being very successful. And, you know, ultimately, what was the point of Google Plus? It was sort of to bring everything together under one roof from a front end and a back end perspective. Nobody wants to use the front end. There's no reason to get rid of the back end. So let's just get rid of the front end because it's kind of embarrassing, guys.
Yeah, let Drive subsume the photos stuff. Ooh. And let Gmail subsume the huddles and chat stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Because it becomes, you know, the only thing that's not left is just sort of the general purpose posting, having a wall that you put the wall function. That's the only thing that would be left, but nobody uses it. So, what are you really losing? I just can't.
The only thing I could, to me, it's like, all right, you tried it. Shake things up. You know, don't just kill it, but treat it like an experiment and make it significantly different and see if we can't.
Yeah, that's why I say the dismantle term is the best. You'll see the features that are successful that people use migrated to other teams, and, you know, sort of your homepage for Google. You know, what is your homepage for Google? And that's what it would become. But
okay.
You know.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it lives on in its current state.
Yeah. Anything that we would care about getting killed.
Well, Drive's not going anywhere.
Chrome.
Yeah, I don't see them killing Chrome either. Or Android, for that matter.
Not this year.
You know what? You guys keep fragmenting it. Forget it. We're not playing anymore. Yeah, no, I don't see that happening. Man, I feel like Larry's kind of done doing his pruning thing. And is, except for maybe Google Plus. And is kind of like, all right, you know, I feel good about what we got going on.
I hope that's where they're at. But this goes back to our discussion last week. We talked about, we did terrible predicting what Google's plans were last year because they were the one company that we really stumbled on. And it's because they're very public about what they're doing, but they don't seem to have like a real cohesive, you know, they don't have any momentum. They don't have any grittiness when it comes to these things. They just turn on a dime, which is good. Kind of, except there are clear signs of businesses that were doing well at other companies that were moving forward very slowly and the company stuck with it and the became a thriving product category as a result of the sort of just Google products that have done that. And it's just like, what the heck is going on? Like, it's just so hard to tell. What they really are going to be caring about at this time in 2016, a year ago today.
I mean, they care about Google search, Android, and, I had it like 2 seconds ago. They care about Chrome.
Yeah.
And I think those are their three legs. And they care about Gmail and Calendar and Contacts and Drive in as much as they support Android and Chrome to an extent. And I think they're starting to, they care about search because it pays the bills and it supports Chrome and Android. And so I think in some ways they care about Chrome and Android and are increasingly trying to figure out how to make those the same thing. I think that's their big thing. Plus, you also get the sense, like I think you were talking about a couple weeks ago or last week or whatever, Larry Page is bored with the internet. And yeah. He's kind of like, okay, I won the internet, now what? And which I would agree.
Yeah, it's not a terrible assessment. You know, yeah. Mark Zuck might have a word or two to say about that, but
well, whatever. Yeah,
but it's worth. It's the problem is that those are about the only two people in the world that can debate who won the internet.
Yes. Yes.
Bezos would want in on that, but he'd be like that really sad third-party candidate who no one will actually let on stage. But everybody kind of quietly agrees, well, he probably should have been let on stage.
Yeah, and Bezos is like, you didn't really win the internet. You won commerce through the internet.
Yeah.
It's okay. So anyways, so you get the sense that Larry Page is he's bored with that, with the internet. Platforms, very interesting to him. You know, Android is not the internet, you know? I think it's one of those things where he would kill search if it didn't make so much money. But he sees the value in it, or at least spin it off, or you know what I mean? Just like,
well,
whatever,
but
I don't care.
The problem is that I will say this. I think they are incredibly bored of crawling web pages. What they are very excited about is the computer from Star Trek. I mean, we've talked about this 100 times and more and more. It's like the knowledge engine where you type in and then you type in a question and it gives you the answer as the first result. And then it gives you potential links. You know, it is increasingly becoming this nexus of, you see, and it's, I agree from a 2015 perspective, Google really cares about Android and Chrome. And I think from a 20, you know, for the next 10 years, though, I think Google really cares about artificial intelligence and the future of that. I honestly think that's the reason why they've been able to bait Elon Musk into talking about it as much as he has over the last year, is because all of his friends are talking about it. And he's like, you guys are going to kill everybody. You can't do that. And, you know, and he's having the public debate, whereas they're all having it privately at their cocktail parties. And I think that and the consumer face of all of their artificial intelligence, deep thinking, deep connectivity, all of that, the public, the consumer face of that is Google search. That's the interface they care about. And then from a and then there's sort of like Google Maps, I think only exists anymore still because it services as the critical junction of how the self-driving cars will work. And I think they want to become the undisputed, you know, place where they want to become the back end of self-driving vehicles, no matter what car manufacturer, what interface solution you use, the actual back end where they're pulling all their data is Google Maps, that from their Atlas database. Right. And then, you know, and then they've got their moonshots, which are sort of their other fun projects that they're working on. And you know, and I think Google Glasses, they're acknowledging that. I think Google Glass is the acknowledgement of the fact of what we're seeing happening is the acknowledgement of the fact that they've, you know, they've got a PR problem. People don't trust them.
You know, HP has run into this problem multiple times where they come out with the technology like 5 to 10 years before people are ready for it. And it just goes nowhere. I mean, the classic example was HP came up with this daily newspaper concept where it would curate articles and pull them together for you and then, you know, print it off. And so they tried to team up with all the different newspapers and say, hey, let us get your, you know, your articles so that we can print them off for people. And none of them wanted to do it. And they're like, no, it's a dumb idea. It's not going to work, whatever. So HP killed the product. And then it like was literally 5 years later, someone invented RSS, which did exactly what HP wanted to do. And all the newspapers adopted it. And it was kind of like, oh, here's a brilliant idea. But yeah. Then HP had already, you know, killed the project, then move on, and it was like, that would have been the perfect time to do a daily newspaper, because you wouldn't have had to ask anybody. You just would have, we'll scan your RSS feed and put something together for you.
Yeah.
And so you get the sense that that's the same way with Google Glass, where they're just a little early to the game. And like you said, they came out with a whole lot of hubris and were like, this is going to change the world, and this is amazing, and we're geniuses for coming up with this, and it's so cool. And to a select group of people, yeah, it's true.
And they got
cut in their own little echo chamber.
Yeah. I think they've definitely, what they've done is all of the really cool ideas that they thought, this is the future of what the smart, you know, what smart glasses are going to be able to do for you. They've taken everything that didn't require the camera on your face constantly on, all of those features, they've thrown into the Android Wear. They just shifted the whole idea. And everything they've done from that back end, how do you do quick notifications and stuff like that, that's where it's all gone. And so I think Android Wear has a lot of headroom coming up in 2015. I think that is where the Google Glass enthusiasm has gone, and within the company. And I don't think Paige cares much about it, but I think that of the guys that do care about it, that it is their passion, that's where their attentions have turned. And I think for good reason, because it's a better idea, as you said, not necessarily forever, but for now, it's a better idea. Battery, you know, the watches can last the whole day. That's a big difference. And, you know, they don't look dorky and they don't freak people out. So I don't want to necessarily call it this earlier in the show, but I think this will be, we'll look back at this year as the year of the watches. You know what? I've actually said that every show for the last couple of years. I've predicted what this year will be about. And at the end of the year, I always think back and think, you know, I wasn't wrong, but I wasn't right. It wasn't the defining – it was a big deal throughout the year, but it wasn't like the defining product of the year. So I take that back. I don't know what I'll think was the defining product of the year at the end of the year. Year's a long time, turns out. I think Android Wear, yeah, there's going to be more. That's where you're going to see the really cool, exciting software updates from Google. You know, Lollipop was a huge push to – they are now no longer really pushing forward on the whole – they're kind of like Apple, where it's like, yeah, we're coming up with new back-end features, a couple new, you know, niche features here and there. But in general, we have all the major solutions we want. If somebody wants to integrate new hardware, like a fingerprint reader, well, there's somewhere, you know, you can do that. We don't necessarily have an SDK for you, but there's an ability to do that. We're not going to worry about it. As far as they're continuing to beat down that whole fragmentation thing. They want to unify the look. They're getting more aggressive about what's allowed into the Google Play Store. They want it to feel the same, not just be the same. You know, they don't want it to feel fragmented. And they want it to be unique from iOS as well. You know, they want two different versions of every app. One version of the app will look like Lollipop, and one version of the app will look like iOS 8, and you'll have these two very separate, you know, distinct – that's the sort of thing, you know, distinct looks. But the Android look is the Android will look like Lollipop. Instagram will look like Lollipop, and it will look like Lollipop on all, you know, competing devices. That's what they would love to have. Instagram's a little bit different. I guess that was a bad example. But – you know, of your apps that are not necessarily don't have their own unique defining looks like Instagram, you know,
it'll get there. They're treating that one like they did with YouTube, where they took like 5 years to make it be a Google product.
Yeah, and it's which is good. You know, they're allowed to do that, and I think they're doing a good job of that. Any new product categories coming out from them that you can think of?
Yeah, you know, I was trying to think of that, of, you know, what's a new moonshot for them, right? I mean, that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Because they're not doing anything. I mean, that's all they're focusing on right now.
I say Chrome, I would say their big thing is going to be trying to get more and more laptops, more divisions of laptops. They're selling like crazy.
Yeah.
And chasing that down. I could see some cool web apps come out, third-party web apps like they did with Adobe was their first big push to having a third-party web app that was like fully built for Chrome OS. I could see another competitive, you know, I could see more companies like that being encouraged by Google to jump on board. But yeah, big stuff. New consumer products. Moonshots.
Yeah. Well, you know, I head down that artificial intelligence angle that you were talking about. I'm trying to think, is there something?
They love healthcare. They love food. Agriculture. I could see them do something with agriculture, being, you know, with what's his name? The dude who was the CEO before Larry Page.
Eric Schmidt.
Eric Schmidt, with this whole Farm 2050 incubator that they just started, I could see Google throw in behind that and try to say, we're gonna focus on this particular type of product, you know, this genetically engineered seed or this way of manufacturing food, or, you know, I could see them moonshot into agriculture this year just for the heck of it. Water.
Think they'll step into virtual reality at all?
In a bigger way than they did this year with their piece of cardboard? I can't believe they're giving credit for that. I really can't believe it. I mean, I guess they did a software thing with Android, but that just seemed like such like a cheapskate. Look, we're playing this game too. No, Google. You're like a 5-year-old when you do that. Please stop. Will they do something real with the virtual reality this year? I don't think so. Well, I could see them use – so like the whole Project Tango thing, I think it's kind of lulled this year, but I think that one's going to make a resurgence. Because
which one is that again?
That one's the camera, the phone that they built that had like four cameras on it and could do all sorts of like 3D. You could see like 3D space. Or one device, you could see 3D space. And that seemed pretty, pretty cool. And one of its big selling points was the whole idea of, you know, doing virtual reality. I could see them coming out with not a consumer device, but another test product in the sort of full-on virtual reality, strapping a pair of goggles to your face and strapping a Project Tango to that. And so it acts as like a 3D interface and allows you to super immersive augmented reality. I could see them demo something like that, but not a new consumer product. I don't think they're going to get into the 3D hardware this year or virtual reality hardware this year.
Okay.
I think they're watching what Samsung's doing, which is a plastic version of Google's cardboard. and I guess technically, if you really want to get dantic about it, the Oculus is just an LC. It's a deconstructed smartphone, but at least it's an entire piece of hardware. I don't see them getting into it. I don't even see them buying anybody this year. I think they're curious about it, but their labs are doing their own stuff, and there's no money in it yet. They're going to let somebody else kind of pioneer it, and then there's still time in 2016.
Yeah, and they don't necessarily see it as a moonshot either.
Yeah.
It's kind of in that tweener space where they're like, well, maybe.
You know, why did Facebook buy it? I think it goes back to Zuckerberg was bored of Facebook and wanted to do hardware but didn't want to do a phone. And it kind of sat in that perfect space for him to be interested. And whereas Google, it's not a big enough dream for them, for Larry Page to take notice, but the Google X Labs are clearly taking notice. They're just not, it's not one of their big projects.
All right. So you're hearing, it sounds like you're predicting a mostly quiet year for Google.
I don't know what I'm predicting for Google, because it's so hard to predict. I feel like I could be completely wrong, and they could just come out of the blue with all sorts of crazy stuff and getting rid of stuff and shaking everything up. To me right now, there seems like an obvious trajectory they're on, but they could be on a completely different trajectory, and I wouldn't know it. Or they could just, change their mind halfway through the year.
What are the perks of getting all your money from a single business? Is it really doesn't matter, except for that one.
Yep. And that one, I think we've nailed where it's evolving, just because, Google has helped us out by telling us that that's what they're doing.
Yeah, and I like the way you said it. It's a knowledge engine, not a search engine.
Yeah.
It's increasingly becoming like the computer, which is cool.
Very cool. It's exciting.
All right, so we're going to fail again next year for Google.
Great. Whatever. So Microsoft.
Yeah, I don't...
Only the Xbox is a different thing.
Are we? Okay.
Again.
That's exactly where I was headed. Thanks for stopping me.
It's like a different company.
I know. I think you're going to see Windows 10. We already know that.
Yes.
You're going to see that potentially as a subscription, not a buy.
No. No.
What?
A subscription? You don't think so? No.
You think they'll give it away for free?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It might be like they've structured 8 where it's free for certain categories of devices. Where towers, it still costs. High-end laptops, it still costs. I don't know exactly what that structure would be. Right now, it's all divided by how big the piece of glass is. How big is the laptop? How big is the tablet? But I can't see them bucking the system by that much. Like, that just seems extraordinary.
All right, fair enough. I guess I could see them not charging for Windows anymore. And, but doing some sort of monthly subscription dealio, just like Office.
Well,
there's an option to buy it, but not for you and me.
I feel like there's an obvious answer here. I think they're going to have two different versions, the Home and the Pro, the Home and Office, and then the Pro. And the Pro is either subscription or, a large fee, and it will have cool features. And then there's the Home version, which, will be free to OEMs and free to upgrade.
And free to us, but with certain features missing unless you get a subscription plan.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I could see them doing that. I could see them doing that.
Yeah, just like Office. And
but the core product, just to have Windows 10, will be free.
Yes. Agreed.
It'll just be lame sauce.
We'll see. They're not coming out with a new Office because they did that recently.
Yeah, but you're going to see more and more compatibility with third-party services, though. They've clearly decided that trying to stay insular isn't their best strategy. So you'll see that, iterative improvements in that area, like the integration with Dropbox and the move on to the iPads.
Yep. I feel like if Microsoft could do a do-over, they would not have bought Nokia. They would drop the Windows Phone operating system. But because they spent some significant change on it, they're going to keep it. and it's just going to continue to be sad.
Yeah. Do you think they'll come out with a Windows Phone 10?
Yeah, I do. I don't think they'll have put a lot of effort into it, but I think they will.
They have to. I mean, it was just when I used the Windows 8 Phone 8, it was so clearly far behind. You know, when I first used it, it was awesome. It was as it had, you know, it had some lacking features, but the biggest discrepancy between Windows Phone 8 and Android and iOS was the lack of apps. But as just a core OS went, it was right on par and even had some features that I liked more. But today, that's a different story. The other two really pushed forward, changed up their look, mostly to match to Windows Phone 8. but also just in getting better service, better performance, better everything. And Windows didn't do that, so they have to come out with something new. But yeah, I expect a cool looking phones. It's good it's good looking hardware. I don't expect anything crazy in sales. They'll continue to try to do what other people have done, where kind of your gimmicky, we've got great cameras, or we've got some cool special feature that nobody else has that allows them to differentiate themselves other than being Windows. But yeah, I agree. I'm not expecting anything really exciting coming from that. Once again, you know, they've got their new wristband thing health tracker thing that they've come out with, their first piece of wearable tech. And I think that they've decided that that's a good space to be in. And I could see them come out with a new version of that builds on this version, which got pretty well reviewed. I could see that actually sort of sit in that space of smarter than a health tracker, dumber than a smartwatch, and compete in that category pretty well. Make a little bit of noise, a lot of noise. There's going to be a cacophony of different competitors in there, but
yeah. I could see that. I mean, they clearly got passed up on the phones and on the tablets and are kind of just being like, oh, come on, guys. We got to get in here. You know, and they missed out on the iPod, and they've been behind enough on everything that they're just kind of like, we got to get in the middle of one of these here.
Yeah, and I think they'll do well. I actually, you know, they're a big enough company. They have enough resources, and they know enough about hardware that and I think they were really smart in not trying to build a full-featured smartwatch. There is still space in that category, and maybe not long term, but there's enough space where you can get your feet firmly planted and survive the first round of you know, the slaughter. But
yeah.
So okay. What about the Azura Suite?
That's man, I honestly don't know much about it. So
yeah.
I'm struggling to, I don't know what I would say about it.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where I think you're going to see in there, everybody seems to be going in the same direction on these company, on these offerings, where they're basically saying, you know, more space, less money. They're, you know, they're all trying to compete financially and, you know, who can do the best. And I think there's enough space where, you know, it's kind of like Cisco, HP, and IBM survived in the space together forever for a long time selling servers. Well, you can do the same with these. Google, Amazon, and Microsoft can all survive together in the same space, and make a ton of money doing it. So I think they will, and will continue to. I think they're going to come out with a new iOS or a new Internet Explorer called Spark.
Yeah.
Yeah. I buy that rumor. I buy it. I'm not a huge fan of rumors this early out, but I could see them finally sitting down and saying, Chrome is taking us to the cleaners. It's time we do something about it. And come out with a super Spartan version of Internet Explorer. And
they're still going to call it Internet Explorer, though. Right.
Yeah, well, the rumor is they won't. The rumor is that they'll rebrand it as a different thing. their new...
It's like Bing and Live all over again.
Yeah, exactly. They've realized they've got an image problem, if not a technology problem, and they'll try to fix both at the same time, I think. And it'll come out with Windows 10.
Yep, that makes sense.
I don't think it will kill Internet Explorer, but...
Really?
I don't think it'll kill... Yeah. Yeah. Because there's still
You're
a couple...
Talking about, on Windows 10, I mean, it won't exist.
What? Internet Explorer?
Yeah.
I think it'll be two different... I think they'll have two different products.
Nah. Like,
You got to keep Internet Explorer around. There are certain customers that...
Not for Windows 10, dude. Just move on. Don't have a choice. Okay.
I think you're right. I think you're right that that's what they should do. I don't think that's what they will do.
totally. All right. Well, I'm thinking that they got a new head boss. They're going to cut it.
All right. Well, I disagree.
And no more heads will emerge.
We don't have to. Oh, man. We don't have to agree on everything. It's more interesting when we don't. Okay. Any other big, other than the Xbox, exciting, cool things that they're doing?
I'd rather just talk about Xbox.
Okay, we'll move on. Intel, I wanted to bring them up because I figured it out today what their deal is.
Ah.
They are, like, they have decided that there is no future for the x86 architecture, or that is going to go away. We've been talking about it forever.
Right.
The breakdown of the Wintel machine, just the idea of when we make these core processors, there's just too much movement being made with the ARM architecture. Too many third-party guys, too many guys encroaching on their little fiefdom. But they think that there is a huge potential for dedicated SoCs, systems on a chip, for mobile, hyper-mobile, Internet of Things-ish space. And you are going to see them move faster and faster into that direction. They bought Basis. They're going to be the chip supplier for the new for the next generation Google Glass. They've got the Galileo coming out. They're competing with Arduino like hardcore. They're coming after Arduino. Everything except the super lower end Arduinos, and I don't think that's going to last long. But anything in the like anything that does anything more than a basic microcontroller, they're compatible with them. They interplay with them really nicely, and they're better than them. And sometimes even use the x86 architecture in case you want that, which a lot of people do. But I think you're going to see them obviously the x86 architecture is, you know, the Core i5, the Core i7, those guys are still a big deal, a big part of their baseline. But I think their 10-year roadmap, they're predicting that that will be less and less a part of their financials, and system on a chip, dedicated chips designed for the mobile world, Internet of Things, that's their future. And that's where they're going to be going.
Wow. That would make sense if they want to stay in the chip business.
Yeah. Which I think they do. They've made some investments in that area.
Yeah. That's clearly where it's headed. That's good to see them making those moves.
Yeah. It's exciting because, once again, this is another brilliant engineering company, some of the most brilliant engineers in the world. And it was like, come on, guys. Don't just get quagmired in nothing. And they are no longer standing still. It's exciting to watch.
Yeah, it took them a while to figure it out. But
yeah. They're going to do what TI did back in the 90s or whatever it was, when mobile phones first came out, actually. So Hewlett-Packard, this one I feel like we got to give a little – we can't give too short a shrift to.
Well, they're going to split up.
How's it going to go for them?
We know that. Next year will be the really interesting year.
It's 2016. Yeah.
I
think
they'll be on their own.
I had mentioned last week that I think you made the right choice, or the company made the right choice.
Oh, yeah, you did say that.
I had a really interesting conversation about Meg Whitman's big bet You had mentioned that HP has kind of moved all of their resources away from a lot of their different R&D projects and moved it entirely into building their The Machine, which is their new server thing that uses Memristors. It's going to be really super cool, does all sorts of cool things. Mm-hmm. And it's the future of how servers work. And it was requiring to be completely rebuilt from the ground up. They're rethinking chip architectures, manufacturing techniques. They were building new operating systems, new software. I mean, like, it was like a fully vertical redesign of everything. And the conversation I had was a guy who's worked for companies like IBM and Cisco. And I mentioned that product and kind of what I thought was going to happen with it. And he, as when I told him what it, when I was explaining it to him, he goes, "Why are they building a new operating system?" It's like, "I don't know. I guess it has something to do with, like," and I kind of started to mention, he goes, "That product's going to fail." What? And he goes, huh. He's like, "It probably is exactly as great as they think it is, theoretically." He goes, "But I've worked on projects that are exactly as great as you think it is from a hardware perspective. But the upper management really wants something that is so dedicated uniquely you that allows you to build it as a completely new platform." And he said, and so what they'll make you do is make new software to work on the new hardware. And there are times when that works, like with the iPhone. They wanted to create this completely unique thing that they got complete control over. So they had a new piece of hardware, move with new software. The problem is, in somewhere like the server space, everybody uses Linux.
Yeah.
Everybody. They use the Unix core. They use the Linux as your web server. Like, there are examples of that not being the case, but they're minor enough where it's not worth mentioning. So HP is clearly, the strategy is to build a new operating system that forces and have hardware that is so compelling that it forces everybody to say, you know what? Maybe this is better than Linux. And they won't. If they can get the product to work, which is unlikely, it won't just get quagmired in the software end. It won't survive the transition. And it will be entirely HP's fault. They, in a battle that they didn't have to lose. And it will probably lead to really awesome patents that somebody else will make a killing from in 10 years when the...
Do you think it's possible for that machine to run Linux?
Yes. Yeah. There might be a new... because what is Linux except a shell over top the Unix core? What you would need to do, and this is not easy, but you would probably have to rethink how do you come up with a new core that Linux can sit on top of? How do you build a language or architecture that can act as an interface between those two things? And I don't know how difficult that is per se. I could have a guess, but I think the biggest point here is it needs to be done. That is the solution. It's got to run Linux. It's got to be a LAMP stack compatible Apache Linux, MySQL, and PHP.
Yeah, I would agree. And the big issue that HP is going to run into is it is splitting up this year, which is a massive distraction.
Everything. Yeah. And I could tell you
it's already a distraction to the team that I'm on, because we're going through a whole bunch of restructuring as a result of it. I'm traveling this week because of the split up, and so I'm, my life is weird and upside down because of it, and I'm not working on other things. So, I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one. Whose work is getting disrupted by it. And so, I could see it as a slight issue.
I'm not gonna predict you're going to have a great year just because of that.
Thanks.
Well, I mean, just the company as a whole. I think your team will be fine. You know, it's a dying market, but it's got its own momentum.
It's not a dying market, okay?
Yeah. Well, like consumer wise, it absolutely is.
Oh yeah, double digits. That's horrible.
Yeah. But you know, but I would say your side of HP has a much longer runway than the server side.
Unless they figure it out, in which case.
But even if they build it, they're going to be doing it. They're going to be doing it in such a way that will act as a significant deterrent from actually succeeding, because it won't be compatible. It just seems like such a terrible idea. I think they're going to shoot themselves in the foot. I really do. I think the upper management sees this as a huge potential to reestablish HP as a critical piece of the tech industry, as opposed to a, you know, first mover critical piece, as opposed to just another competitor. And they're going to make a mistake. I don't see it. I don't know why you're getting so defensive of this. You don't work for them anymore. Whereas with the printers, you know, we've talked about this from an industrial printing. That's what your side of HP is getting into. And
yep.
there is headroom there. You know, replacing general purpose lithography, your massive printing presses, with, you know, digital printers at the same speed and quality or better, you know, that's huge. That is real. And there's a market there that HP can continue to grow into. 3D printing, you know, we said it last year. We said that last year was going to be like the 1985, what 1985 was to personal computers, 2014 was going to be for 3D printers. And I don't have any reason to doubt that 10 years from now, we'll agree with that statement. And HP is getting on that bandwagon. You know, we'll see how it sells, but it doesn't have to sell great to prove itself as a good solution, because it's going to be designed for industrial printing and stuff. And you'll come out with some new cool printer that replicates somebody else's technology, but does it better anyways. And then PCs, man, when are you going to stop doing that business?
We still sell a lot of them.
I know. I could see not this year. You're not going to spin off a third company this year, I don't think. But I could see that finally become its own entity, get sold to Lenovo or Xiaomi.
Nah, those two are small enough that they're not going to, they complement each other pretty well, and they're going to stick together.
As consumer hardware stuff?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I think this year you'll hear even more about the machine, and it'll be a lot of noise. It'll sound really cool for a long time.
Yeah, no, that whole split.
The hope is it will be really cool. I predict it will sound really cool, which is different.
The split is scheduled to finish by when? End of October? Beginning of October? Something like that.
Yeah.
October is involved in there somewhere. So there's still a lot of year left for them to be distracted and be two separate companies. Yeah.
So let's talk about Amazon before we get to probably video games at this point.
Okay.
Amazon, they're going to come out with another Fire Phone. I was so glad to see that officially announced. Like, Bezos was like, I'm not giving up on it. Yes, I knew it, and I can't wait. I think it will be – they'll get rid of some of the stupid stuff. They'll get rid of – you know, I think what it will be, much tamer version. It will be a phone version of the Fire tablets. It will be – they're gonna get focused on, okay, so that first pass, yeah, we got a little bit antsy. We're going to get rid of the 3D face scanning. We're going to get rid of it being a barcode scanner in your hand. It's just going to be an Amazon services. All of our cool Amazon services that you like, you've already got Amazon Prime, going to do all that stuff really well. And you'll just see it more as the, you know, part of the holistic Amazon thing. And maybe one cool gimmicky feature, but for the most part, it's just going to be an Amazon Fire tablet, but smaller and with a phone antenna.
Interesting. They're going to go in the other direction. They're going to keep adding to it.
They're going to go more gimmicky.
Haptic Touch. Man, I really want that.
I know. I
really, really want that.
I don't think this year. Man, if you've noticed, I've already clearly stated I don't think Apple's doing wireless charging. I've given up on my pipe dreams, James. It's time. It's time to give up on yours. That's it's not fun. I don't like giving up on my pipe dreams.
Yeah. Nah, you're probably right. Where they would just get a lot more focused and do less, but focus on the quality side of things. Play at the Amazon services. That makes sense. It's not nearly as fun.
Yeah. They're going to do it's they're going to come out with the one thing I can guarantee you they'll do is a million more things to try to convince me to get Amazon.
That is like their whole business.
Yeah.
Amazon get you Plus. On Amazon Prime. That's their one goal.
I'll be honest, James. I'm almost there. Like I am like
I predict you'll be an Amazon Prime member by the end of this year.
I might be an Amazon Prime member by the end of tonight. Like I've got to buy a piece of sport equipment, and I'm like, I was funny. I was talking with a friend, and I was like, I should have bought it at the beginning of December, but because I waited till January to do it, I'm not going to do it now. Which is stupid because I'll have the same conversation at the beginning and end of December in 2016. I just would have had access to it all year long. You know, the problem is the moment I do it, I'm going to want an Amazon Fire TV because I'm going to want to watch Amazon video. I mean, come on. Like, oh,
yeah, Apple TV's not working. Now's the time.
Exactly. I can be like Gary Busey and talk to it. okay. So I got a couple of more, and obviously we're getting a little bit late in the night. Facebook, Snapchat, Samsung, and video games. We should say something about all of them. But
apparently Snapchat's going to stick around. They're worth money and are raising it.
Yeah. This is a hopeful prediction. But it's a prediction.
Okay.
Company's going to start to see their decline by the end of 2015.
What?
Yeah. Come on, Instagram beat them. I mean, it's everybody that's they're just I don't see it, man. I just don't see it. I don't feel it. It's not in my bones. I still have friends joining Instagram today. Like I'd say probably twice a week, I get a notification from Instagram saying your Facebook friend just joined Instagram. I don't have anybody trying to become my friend with on Snapchat. Now, obviously, they're still doing a ton of business. They're moving a ton of pictures around. Like, there's still a lot going on. And the Snapcash was a good move. That's the only reason I use it anymore, because it's funny. I can use Square just as well. Like, this just. But I will tell you this. I've actually tried to use it a couple of times with people, and they're like, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, why not? And they're like, I'm not going to give Snapchat my credit card number. Are you crazy? But it's not Snapchat. It's Square. It just, like, sends the Square request through Snapchat. And they're like, no. But it's not Snapchat. No.
No.
Okay. So do you take checks, or?
How are we doing this? Yeah.
How do you want to do this?
Dang, work it off?
You know, they got a problem. They got a PR problem. They got an image problem. And they don't have a utility. They don't have a direction of becoming a utility. You know, Facebook, it was pretty clearly obvious early on that they had some sort of a long-term utility. It's not the case with Snapchat, man.
Man, I hope you're right. I would love nothing more to watch them burn. I have no reason not to like them either. Other than their founders are idiots.
Oh, they're so scummy.
I like what you wrote here. They're like MySpace. Dude, how sweet would that be?
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. I don't think Snapchat dies. I just don't think we'll care about them. They're a popular club. They're cool right now. But popular clubs die regularly. Get, you know, or I shouldn't say they die. They continue to exist. Sometimes they get different names. Sometimes they get different management. It shifts over time. There is a space for deletable photographs. I just don't think it's nearly as big as it is popular. You know, I think Facebook is as big as it is popular, that utility of the social network online, at least for the next couple, for the foreseeable next few years. I don't think that's the case for Snapchat at all.
I was reading a blog by a VC, and he was saying that, like 2014 was kind of the end of the social media innovation space. It was kind of like, it solved Facebook one, move on. But, instead, it was replaced by competition and innovation in the messaging space.
Oh, yeah.
Which you would argue is a form of social media. Just highly specialized. And it, you know, it's all in this attempt to get rid of the noise and just talk to the people who you care about. And Snapchat falls loosely in that middle, like, is it a social network? Is it messaging? We don't really know. And which is why partially why they got away with what they were doing. I agree with you, man. I still don't see how it's a long term thing. You know, and to say that Facebook tried Poke and it didn't work out, I don't think says much.
Yeah, no.
It was Facebook. You know, were they idiots for not taking the $3 billion payout by Facebook? You know, apparently now they're worth like $10 billion.
There was a...
I don't know.
There was an... I forgot to link there. I didn't link the article and I should have. But there was a... There's a new app that comes out that its whole deal is it's a deletable text message. You can send somebody a text message and then delete it. And what's going to happen, I predict, is that you'll see more and more services integrate that very feature into their whole thing. You can send text. You can send... I could see iMessage have that by the end of 2016. You know, the ability to send self-deleting stuff. It deletes after a certain amount of time, or you can delete it.
Well, they already got that with a voice message.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know, and I just sit there and I go, like, how does that not just – how does once everybody replicates that function with more than just pictures, how doesn't that not just crush them? All that's left is the popularity of it. There's no longer a utility to it. Apart from everybody else, and like you know, and the problem is that they do fit loosely into them. They are a messenger app. They're a highly dedicated niche messenger app, but, and their whole deal was this, and I keep going back, man, it was a brilliant idea. Oh man, it was great. They really knocked that out of the park. Everything else since then has been miserable, but that initial idea was enough to just propel them to incredible heights. And I just sit there and I go, but it's not something that other people can't do and do better. And once other people can do it and do it better, then all you're left is with their whole, like, you know, their whole our story thing I don't know. I feel like other people are going to integrate. There's other, you know, Yik Yak is just crushing them in that whole, they're not an anonymous conversation, and they're not trying to be an anonymous conversation, but the anonymous conversations can bring in the whole ephemeral, I think that's the right word. The whole deletable ethereal is the word.
Yeah.
Ethereal, deletable stuff. They're not gonna make it, man. They're like MySpace. They stay around. They're a minimal player. Nobody's gonna really care about them by the end of 2017, and you'll see the beginnings of them coming undone in 2015.
You kind of see them also as like Dig. Interesting. Just less beloved.
Yeah.
I believe it, man. But I. That's because I fail to see the, I fail to see how they're gonna make money and people will let them.
Yeah.
And because, I mean, they'll come up with a revenue model, and I think depending on what it is, it'll drive people away. And yeah, their killer will just be growth slows and eventually stops. And sure, they may stay the same size, but you know, at this stage, that's not what investors want to see.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Ironically, I actually think their best revenue model is to mine their picture data for everything they can and then sell it to anybody who'll buy it.
Let's hope not.
Okay, but that's the most discreet way they could take advantage of the fact that, oh, by the way, your pictures aren't deleted. Facebook, on the other hand, what are they going to do? I think they're not going to buy anything this year. I think they got a little.
Yeah, they're working on virtual reality, and I think Oculus was supposed to come out with some hardware last year, and they didn't.
Yeah, they did.
Part of that was
we took credit for that. they came out with the second beta.
Oh well, I guess they were supposed to come out with something, and they
consumer hardware, and they didn't.
There we go. Okay. You know, and part of it was like they don't need the money anymore, so
yeah,
no reason to release hardware. I'm really doubtful we're actually going to see something this year.
I'm really hopeful though.
Oh yeah, I am too, and it would be sweet. There's a part of me that's like, man, they might take, other than Facebook's whole like hacker way thing, you know, make it and break it fast.
I could see them come out with a very expensive version of the Crystal Clove Oculus. Something, a consumer-facing product that's quote-unquote finished, but really only for people who are willing to invest time and money into the holistic solution. You know, not something that's designed to compete with Project Morpheus, but something designed to just crush it in performance and just be the quote-unquote high-end version of it. That's the one that everybody really wants but can't afford, so they get, that's the only reason why they went with Project Morpheus. You know, Sony's solution.
I'm gonna say they're not coming out with it.
I'm gonna say they are.
Okay, all right.
I'm willing to go down with this ship.
Hardware is tough and they haven't done it yet, so they're just gonna struggle. We'll get an update or something like that, but that'll be it.
No.
We're working on it, guys.
So bad, I can't stand it. Oh, my gosh.
2016, don't worry.
I care more about what Sony does, honestly, at this point. But but
why? What do you think they're going
to
do?
Well, I want them to launch the Project Morpheus stuff. I think Oculus and Sony are sort of like aiming their guns at each other, like that really tense moment before the shootout starts. Who's going to pull the trigger first, you know? Like, and neither one's ready, but the moment one of them does it, the other one's going to do it like super fast. Like, oh, I'm ready. I'm just kidding. I was ready. I've been ready all along. but they're, you know, how long can they race towards the product they want before the other person pulls the trigger? Is the race that they're going on right now. I think it's this year. Facebook,
you know, and Sony, if they're going to release it, they're going to release it at E3, right?
Yeah.
That's when you would do it.
I don't think they'll do it this week.
No, E3.
I know. This is CES is this week.
Right.
Which they could do it, but I do think they'll wait till E3. So anything else with Facebook? I mean, more of them not touching the big blue app. You know?
They're going to come out with some new apps that are going to be dumb. We know that.
I bet they'll come out with one that we like and we continue to use. You know, Paper was Paper was a huge success.
Paper's good.
They had some miserable failures of an experiment.
I don't like that you cannot tag people in pictures using Paper.
Do not like that either. There are one or two features that I just sit there and go, if we could go ahead and update that and add that in,
yeah,
that'd be great. But there's a part of me that thinks they don't do it because they want you to not delete the Big Blue app yet. They want the install base, even if it's not getting any use.
Guess.
And it's there's just enough apps. It's like searching for friends of friends, tagging people in pictures, and navigating around my events. Those three things the paper is not good at all. If you know, they're either not good at it or they're not function. You know, or they're just don't even try.
Yeah.
And I will open up the Big Blue app probably once every 2 weeks as a result. But
yep.
And I think they like that. But you know, WhatsApp, they love what's going on with WhatsApp. It just keeps growing, and
people
have gotten over the fact that it's owned by Facebook now, so they're not going to mess with that team at all. And then they've got, what else do they have going on? You know, I don't know. Nobody's coming out and saying this is the year of the whatever.
And hiccups.
I know. It's rough. Do we need to do something about it?
Here, you keep talking. I'm going to focus.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, you're going to see Facebook. This is going to be the year of what's it called? Just them moving forward and building towards a more mobile future. I don't think they're going to get involved in any other forms of hardware because I think they've got what they want right now with the Oculus. You know, they're not going to come out with a watch. That doesn't seem like them. And you know, I think they feel like they've done everything with pictures that they need to do. That whole, the future of pictures debate that we were having a year and a half ago or a year ago or whatever. I feel like they won that with Instagram. So we're doing good.
Yeah,
it's cool.
I'd agree.
You know, and, all the big social media stuff, pictures, messaging, and just general social network, Facebook is winning, which is astoundingly impressive considering what they were up against. You know, but doesn't seem like the big trend everybody's talking about this year is going to be the Internet of Things, man.
That video, I think, is the other big one.
Yeah.
And
Twitter's coming out with it.
Have anything for that.
Well, except if you upload a video to Facebook, it plays videos.
Yes, but I mean, I don't know how many people do that, but
a lot of people. A lot of my friends. It's kind of annoying. I don't like their player as much as YouTube, but you know. People are honestly, it's like, you know, Twitter's coming out with some new video service that's more like YouTube and less like Vine. Obviously, they own Vine. Why would they make another Vine product? The problem is when you talk about, like, what about the future of video, YouTube? What do you mean the future of video? Like, I feel like that one's solved. You know, they've got – I think Facebook is happy with the solution they have, which is a product that fits in with their entire universe. You can upload video. They've got their own player. But they're not going to build channels and do – you know, they're – I don't think they feel the need to build a unique video service, YouTube-esque, unless they want to do TV, you know, unless they want to get into the Amazon get into that content generation space. I don't think they want to do that.
No, they want to hang out in content discovery and feed it to those other systems.
Exactly. I think the one thing they could try to do this year is to come up with a service that requires a monthly fee.
Oh, interesting.
Everybody else is doing it.
And do subscriptions where it's at. I'm trying to come up with one.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Yeah, I'll bet. Okay. All right. That's going to be my big, bold prediction for Facebook this year. They come up with something that requires a subscription. Consumer-facing product has a subscription model attached
like
to
stickers
it.
Stickers or something.
It'll be stupid cheap. But that I think once you have that, whether it's Amazon Prime or iTunes Match or whatever, like, it, you know, it just gives them, it gets the foot in the door, and all of a sudden now they can start charging you actual money for a product. And if they can do that with software, that'd be huge. I don't know what that product would be. I can't even begin to guess. And it's not, the goal isn't to get Facebook at large. They're going to want to keep it like huge gulf between that and Facebook proper. You know, I could see it be a completely differently branded service, really differentiated, because they don't want to freak people out that Facebook will cost money one day. But being able to make money off you directly would be pretty cool, I think. And I bet they, so let's talk about video games.
So there was an interesting article this week that came out about Xbox.
Yeah.
That, by The Verge, where essentially they were saying that almost all the leadership for Xbox One have left.
Really?
Yeah.
In the last year?
Yeah. Well, since they launched Xbox One.
Okay.
And so even like less than that.
Were they fired or did they choose to leave?
Just left for either different jobs within the organization or outside.
Okay.
And a lot of these guys were into the like the non-video game component of it, turning it into your central hub. And
right.
The guy in charge of Xbox now is he's a big time gamer. And so their kind of leading conclusion is that Xbox One is going to go back to gaming and primarily focusing on that. And this whole idea of it being your central hub is going to just slowly fade into obscurity.
Your one device, as it were?
Yeah, it's not going to be anymore.
Good.
It'll be, yeah, that was kind of a, you know, when all those people with a vision for it, they're like, they're gone. So time for a new vision.
Yeah. You know, and it's more than competent as a video game piece of hardware, you know, competing with the PlayStation. So there's no reason that it can't be exactly that.
And finally, by focusing on games and getting rid of the Kinect and reducing the price, like, you know, it did sell more. So short term, that seems to be working out to focus on gaming. But like long term, you still might have problems. Does Sony have a big enough lead now that, you know, they're going to kind of just keep going? Like you were talking about, man, all my friends got this now. So this is kind of what I have.
Yeah. You know, at this point, the only reason why you're going to pull people over to pull people over to the Xbox and away from PlayStation is Halo. But this year, you know, just coming up, you know, they've got a couple of games that I think are going to catch people by surprise big time. And I, you know, like one of the games I'm really, really excited about, and they act like this is, you know, it'll work. Where's the list of that I had? 2015 PS4 games. One of them was it's called No Man's Sky. It's like this procedurally generated giant universe game that looks really cool and fun. They've got all the major games, your Battlefields, your Call of Duty, stuff like that. Those are all coming out and being exactly what, you know, what you'd expect them to be. But at the same time, they've got these other games that are coming only to them, like The Order 1886, which has got some, you know, it seems like it's got legs under it to be sort of like a BioShock style game. If it's got a good story, it could totally make real big waves with, you know, generally new IP coming out. And, you know, I sit there and I go, at this point, you're, from a social network perspective, the PlayStation's winning. Now it's just a question of what are your big games? Who's going to be really excited about stuff, and you know, who's going to have the better games? Obviously, this year Microsoft has got Halo 4 coming out, and that's going to be big, just because it's Halo. Halo's always big.
Right.
But is that going to be enough to drive a tremendous amount of, you know, is that going to be enough to change the momentum? I don't think so. I think PlayStation has enough. Sony has enough big time cool games coming out that are system exclusives that, you know, they'll be able to keep the momentum in their favor. And I think they're going to announce an official launch date pre-Christmas for Project Morpheus. And, and although that won't necessarily sell a lot because it'll require you to get the PlayStation 4, the camera, the headset, and probably those like stupid glow stick things. So you can like do lightsaber battles in 3D, which is going to be incredible. I can't wait for the Star Wars games that are going to come out, but it's going to be a huge capital investment to get to the point where you can do that. It'll be the cheapest of all of your headset solutions, but Xbox doesn't have anything right now that's really going to compete, and it will generate a huge amount of buzz, I think. I hope. That's definitely a hopeful prediction. Mostly, this is the horse I bet on, and I want it to win. That helps me a lot. Nintendo, I got worries, man. They're my friends. They're like family. They're like your family member who like got fired and decided to use all their life savings to start their own business, and they started this restaurant and it just never really took off, and now they're like out of savings and they can't make their month-to-month bills meet, and you're just sort of like, you got a lot of potential. You're like, you're a good cook. You're a hard worker. You just, you know, you picked a bad location. It just didn't work out. You know, you didn't get your feet underneath you. And I'm sorry about that, but I don't know what to tell you. Like, I feel really bad about it. I don't even know what to think about Nintendo. It's not over for them in 2015. I think it'll make it through this entire generation of hardware. They've got those little statue things that the Wii works with. Those are really popular. People seem to love those. And maybe that'll generate some sort of continued revenue, but and I don't see what the long-term plan for them is.
I don't think they know what it is either.
Yeah.
You kind of get the sense that, oh my gosh, this thing is killing me. You kind of get the sense that, oh man.
What's wrong?
Google Plus wants me to update this thing again.
That's annoying.
I gotta figure out how to turn that off. Here, give me a second here.
Okay. But.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right, good. I got rid of the sound. I just have a big blue pop-up on my screen, which is great. Oh. And that totally distracted me from what my thought was.
Nintendo.
Oh, I know. You know, you got some issues here where some of their top developers are just getting older.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that they're I think that's becoming an increasing struggle for them.
Yeah. They're not the vibrant, youthful video gamers that they used to be. They're legends, but you know, sometimes, you know, like John Wayne in that one movie where he was old and he helped a girl find the guy. What was that movie? True Grit? You know, when you become a legend, yeah, you're a legend, but you're also old and drunk.
Yeah. And I think they're starting to get to that point where, okay, it's time for you to retire and, you know, move on. We love you and we know that you enjoy it, but you guys got to move on.
And the sad part about it is the heart of Nintendo will leave, which means the heart and soul will be different and it won't be the same company anymore. Like, although the name will stay, it will be a different thing, and that is unfortunate. But the other option is the name can't even survive because you write it into the ground.
Yeah.
Make a choice. True. You know, and, you know, in the handheld set, you know, in the handheld realm, you know, they seem to be surviving alongside the iPhones of the world, but, you know, and I perhaps there's, you know, I got one. I think there's still a space for it, but for the next couple of years, but yeah, they make me sad. Good childhood friend, just not doing well right now.
Yeah.
So before I go, so we got two more things to talk about. Internet of Things, and then our 2045 predictions. Internet of Things. I actually hate the fact that we waited this long to even bring it up, because it's just that is what 2015 is going to be talked about. How do you bring the internet to everything? Smart TVs, smart appliances, but that's like the future. Like it's almost a stupid thing to talk about, because it's what's going to survive. What's going to be a big deal in 2015 is the phrase, the Internet of Things, but the concepts, the principles just continue on forever. You know, they just become how do you do it? How do you implement it securely and cheaply in everything? But That's what to, you know.
I mean, clearly it's already starting to get integrated in things, and it's being integrated in the higher end products, which makes sense, and so therefore they tend to be more expensive, which is kind of stopping it all from going mainstream today. You know, I still think you're going to continue to see prices fall on them, you know, just thinking light bulbs and stuff like that makes a ton of sense. As it gets more competitive and they figure out cost structures, I think we are definitely going to start to see them going into a wider range of things. At least, or I don't want to say it, more useful, I guess. You know, I'm thinking like, you know, washers and dryers, sure, there's already some stuff, but you're going to continue to see even smarter integration. Same with the other appliances. You know, the fridge is kind of that, like, it always felt like that has made sense. The oven, I suppose, to a degree.
The oven, you know what's more important with the most important thing for the oven is to put a stupid thermocouple into the turkey, so I can know when my turkey is done, and then it alerts my phone. That's all. It's so frustrating to me that, like, that with ovens, that's the obvious one. I don't care how hot the oven is. I care how hot the turkey is. Help me solve that problem, and I will buy a smart oven. If all you're going to do is allow me to turn on the oven from my iPhone, I don't care. I can stand up and turn it on. You know, this coming from the guy who bought, you know, turning on and off my lights isn't the challenge. It's turning them on when my alarm goes off or just before my alarm goes off. That is where they become financially available. Let me do something I can't do just by getting up and doing it myself. Give me something extra. That's the trick. And that's the obvious one with stoves, and they don't do it. Or they do it sometimes. And because the cool part about it is once you know how hot the turkey is, on the inside, then you adjust the temperature on the outside accordingly, so that it, like, that, you know, you get that the proper, you know, relation of everything going on together. And once you can do that with the turkey in an oven, then put it in the microwave and the toaster, and then we have a then we're cooking with fire. You know, that's because that's what we really care about. It's how hot is my cake on the inside? Is it cooked done yet? You know, that way you don't set alarms. You set a temperature, you know, because this is what we really want, right? You really want to be able to put the turkey in there, plug it in, and then say, finish the turkey when it's 145 degrees, and then walk away. And then the oven will tell you, hey, this is how hot the object is. This is how hot I think it will be in this amount of time. You know, and it gives you an up-to-the-minute projection on your phone, as well as the oven. If you could do that for an extra $100, you know, or $200 on your, heck, you know, if
well, that was like at Arby's when they were cooking the meat. They used to stick the thermometers in the meat, and then you could just see the display, and then you'd know, okay, is it done or not by looking at it.
Exactly. Now just use Wi-Fi to tell my phone that, so that I don't have to get up and look. I can just, you know, I can sit and watch the movie, my Thanksgiving Day movie. Do they make those? And
sure.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Lifetime, man. They make movies for every holidays. And you know, and then I don't have to get up. That is a compelling, you know, user case. But whatever.
But yeah, clearly, things are going to start talking to each other, and that'll be the other fun piece.
Yeah.
To it.
I was thinking about on Thanksgiving, no, New Year's Day, I was at a restaurant. I was thinking about how would I integrate the Internet of Things into a restaurant if I was running a restaurant business. And I came up with this sort of solution where I said, really what I would want to do is I wouldn't want to replace the physical labor, the act of bringing out the food or doing the water. What I'd want to do is I'd want to get it so intelligent that I could do all of the same stuff with fewer people. I'd have two waiters that could handle three times as many tables, because they never have to go in the back to tell anything to anybody. They can just walk to table and sort of make sure everybody's going well. And the tables are keeping track of the basics of how much water do you have? How comfortable do people look? Is there a spill? And anytime that there's an alert, anytime something goes wrong, it can send an alert to the back or, you know, to the back to say, okay, it's time to bring up water. And then some, you know, some busboy runs out with water. Or it can send an alert to your sort of maitre d slash waiter, who their whole job is to walk over and to actually assess, okay, what's the problem, you know? And yeah, then ideally nothing would ever, you know, ideally nothing, you know, and I think that's where you're going to move with the Internet of Things. It's how do we not necessarily replace labor with robotics, but how do we require fewer people to do the same tasks? And, you know, how do we do, And that is where you're going to really see a thriving Internet of Things. Which brings me to my next point of topic, unless you have something else to say about the Internet of Things.
Go ahead.
2045, man, that is the big question of technology. That will be the defining – I think one of your defining pieces of all technology that succeeds over the next 30 years will be, how does it allow you to do more? How does it allow the labor that humans do bigger?
Well, and one would argue that's kind of what's happening with this whole jobless recovery that they've, you know, framed up, which is the economy is doing well. It's predicted to continue to do well, but they're doing it with less jobs.
Yeah.
And that's that idea of, because the economy tanked, businesses were forced to leverage technology and figure out how to be more efficient, you know, or make the employees more efficient, and they did.
Which is exactly what happened at my company. We have fewer people working for my company than when the recession started, by a long shot. And it's entirely because we got a lot smarter about what technologies we do and doing a lot more. And we're a manufacturing company. And we manufacturing We're a manufacturing company, and we're getting better at manufacturing with fewer people because of better technology and just being smarter about it, you know? And I sit there and I go, you know, that's the future. And I think, what does that look like in 20 years, in 30 years? One man manufacturing, you know, outfits where it's, you know, manufacturing is going to look so incredibly different. Just people working alongside robots and a lot of software, a lot of education about what's needed for software, software doing certain things for you and not doing other things for you. And one of the things that it's like for us, circuit boards are a perfect example. We're pretty good at designing circuit boards. We don't build circuit boards. What we do is we have a piece of software that we kind of understand the principles of how electronics work. We design a circuit diagram, and then you drop that into a sister program developed by the same company that allows you to do all the traces and make sure everything works. And then that program, you then send that information to, you know, you then purchase the board, and then a couple days later they mail the boards to you. And you know, it's that sort of like teamwork where it used to be you had to hire somebody who built circuit boards, and there, so every company would have a circuit board company. Now there's a couple of guys in, like, I think it's Colorado, that build circuit boards for 100 companies, and everybody uses this software and all kind of works together. What you need is the knowledge base of how do circuit boards work, and then somebody, and then we're all able to sort of focus on one group that's really highly automated and tooled up for that, you know, very specialized in doing that specific task. We all use the internet to communicate. And it'll just go further and further in that direction as you get the simple things manufactured at even higher, you know, even quicker with fewer people, like 3D printing and, you know, robotic manufacturing. CNC type stuff, where we're going to go even further down that road where fewer and fewer people are needed in giant tool shops. So it's like the next place you could go is, you know, we have all this metal fabrication stuff. And ideally what we'll be able to do is we'll be able to handle off all of our drawings to all of our 3D models to this other company. And they'll have like four guys that program CNC machines. And you will be replaced by a giant thinking robot at your company, you know, and an artificial intelligence of sorts, you know. The jobless recovery thing is going to be a huge problem, I think, or it's going to have unique solutions. You know, we've talked about this before.
Mm-hmm. There will be solutions, and people, and jobs will change.
Jobs will change.
You think Facebook will still be around in 30 years? I know BlackBerry will not be.
No, dude. Yeah. I don't know, I can't believe we made it to the show without mentioning it to this point. But they're an insignificant company. Why would we care?
Apple's going to be around.
30 years from now?
Google's going to be around.
Yeah, Apple will be around.
Amazon, definitely. HP, maybe. It's tough. Not in its current state, that's for sure.
Google in 30 years.
Microsoft will still be around.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see some Chinese companies just becoming Goliaths and really shaking up the American markets. I could see two of those four companies not making it because of competition from abroad.
Wow.
I don't know which two, but. You know, I could see Amazon be beat by Alibaba. Or a similar type scenario, you know. super high end, incredibly well built, you know, manufacturing company with a cool advertising campaign out of China that can do really, really great hardware and fighting Apple, you know, tooth and nail.
Potentially, yeah.
It's more likely, I think, that Google has a problem because the turnover is so fast. You know, their one piece of hardware that you're stuck with has a year and a half.
Their issue would be search. If that suddenly dropped off or got replaced by something else, or the ads didn't work or something, they would be in a lot of trouble pretty fast.
I think the knowledge engine, though, is, as we call it, or this, the eventual Skynet that we'll call Google, you know, that thing is much, it's a much bigger deal. And I think it's whatever, but it'll become its own entity and we'll call it Wintermute, and it'll, you know, we'll have to send out super cool science fiction you cops to try and kill it. Like, I feel like Google's future could get a lot more exciting than anybody else's. you know, I think in 30 years, America won't be fully automated cars, but we'll have all. I would be willing to bet that in 30 years, the majority of cars do the majority of the driving for you.
I would agree. And I think a lot more of them, like right now, the mainstream is a hybrid where it's a gas engine that is augmented by electric. And I think it'll be the other way around. It's an electric engine that you plug in that is augmented by gas.
Yeah. And I've been predicting the idea of the full electric drivetrain with a gas generator in semis for a while. And I think that's coming. I'm still surprised that hasn't happened already. I feel like that's just because
I think you'll have a couple flying cars.
Yeah. Hovering cars there. Or flying cars?
Flying. They're like going to have wings.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that. For the ultra rich.
Yeah.
Time machines?
I don't think we'll see the Hyperloop.
Will we have watches or cell phones? Will we have cell phones?
Yeah, you will.
I don't think so. I think in 30 years? I don't think
so. I know. I know you don't.
I definitely don't think so. I absolutely don't think so. I think we'll have figured out wireless charging or batteries or something by then that'll just allow us to so radically change the face of mobile computing that, you know.
If you can come up with a flexible screen, which we may by then, I mean, we are talking 30 years. I mean, that'll be a game changer. You know, and because things continue to get thinner, and if it suddenly becomes flexible, all right, you can have all sorts of shapes and sizes, and it really doesn't matter anymore.
I still don't think we'll be carrying around a mobile screen. I think we'll have maybe glasses. I could see an augmented reality world, but I still buy the idea that, you know, I feel like we're going to have projections and screens everywhere that are just sort of aware of who you are. You'll have trackers on you that communicate with stuff, but you'll just be able to tap into screens everywhere. I don't think we're going to want to carry around iPhones.
That's the future I want. I'm doubtful that that'll actually happen.
Yeah, I just 30 years.
It's a long time, man.
It's a long time. Yeah, okay. Cars are easy. I think combustion engine cars will have really, really tapered off.
Well, you'll have dual tracks. You'll have the guys who still like the trucks and the loud noise, and then you'll have the commuter people.
Yeah. But I think it'll become
even more extreme than it is today.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it'll be far in the favor of electric cars by 30 years. Because the nice part about it is you get two complete cycles of you know, getting two complete replacements of the American fleets of cars. because it takes about 15 years. So you're talking about whatever happens in the next 15 years, that whole trend, and then a complete another generation trend. You know, you could have some huge shifts in how we transport ourselves in 30 years at mobile travel. You know, planes, they'll get faster and cooler, but, you know, they're – I hate this, but I don't think we'll have a space elevator by then.
I know. Think we'll have gone to Mars in 30 years?
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. I think we'll have sent a person to Mars.
That'd be sweet.
Heck, if our funding actually stays the trajectory that it's on, man, we might have sent somebody to Venus, too. That'd be fun.
Mars.
Mars. Stay focused. Stay focused. Eyes on the prize. Yeah. Will somebody have died on Mars by then?
No.
Yeah. I think so. Hey. It's a one-way trip, man. I don't think you're going to have that long of a lifespan once you get there. Like 5 years, you know?
Fair enough. Wow. Harsh.
Hey, man. It's outer space. It's an alien planet, you know? It's not easy life. It's not a vacation.
Okay. Man.
Will Americans be voting? Will we have changed how we vote?
No. Nah.
Will we change how we do demographics, how we do the census?
What do you mean?
Well, because right now it's still every 10 years the census data has to be taken manually.
So it just so happened that one of my professors in grad school was actually on the national census committee.
That's
to
cool.
Try to figure out a way to do it better.
Yes.
And she ultimately came out and was like, no, you can't. She goes, there are significantly better ways of doing, of taking a census.
Yes.
And she was like, because of the political nature of it all, she was like, it's not going to change, at least not anytime soon.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I guess that's my point. I mean, we, at some point I feel like it becomes, you'll actually have two different forms of census. You'll have how we get actual up-to-date information, and then the every 10-year census. And the only question that anybody will ask is, you know, will there still be such powerful political ties to the old census that we won't have a constitutional convention to change it? But 30 years is a long time, man.
It is.
Because I think in 30 years, you will have – the Census Bureau will have – the actual, like I said, they'll have the actual data, and then they'll have the census data, which is legally mandated that we do that. And
I was trying to think, is there something that's technically illegal now that won't be in 30 years? You know, I think like the marijuana one's an obvious one, but because it's already happening.
I was going to say, that one's barely illegal.
You know, like the immigration is going to be an interesting one especially from a tech perspective and getting the people here or not or something.
Yeah. I mean, it's already a big issue in the Valley. Drugs.
The United States continue to exist.
Oh man. In 30 years, maybe.
Maybe it's tough to say.
You know, drones are a weird question because in 30 years, man, we're not going to be the only ones, you know, strafing the skies with killer robots anymore.
That's true.
And the first time somebody flies over one of our allies and kills somebody, we are going to lose our hats. Hey, it's different when we do it. It's different, okay? We're America. And that one's going to be a crazy conversation. But it'll have happened in 30 years. You know, heck, I'm kind of surprised it hasn't happened in 2015 that somebody hasn't strapped a bomb to a, you know, parrot drone and flown it into some country that we're friends with. What? It's a drone. We're not allowed to do it? No. No, Iran, you're not allowed to do it. Stop it. Sometimes I wonder if they do it. and we just don't talk about it. You know, I could totally see China being like, "Yeah, sometimes we drone people, but it's none of your business." And we're like, "You're right. It is none of our business." Shh. You know, you keep quiet, we'll keep quiet.
All right, man, we're 3 hours into this. Any last?
This is the fun part.
I know, but we're 3 hours into this, and I have to go to work tomorrow.
Yeah, me too.
And you don't have to process this.
Oh, that's a good point.
I still got an hour's worth of work ahead of me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't got it anymore. I'm done. I forgot about that.
Yeah, this is why we try to start early, so I can actually go to bed at a reasonable time. Yeah, I guess the only other thought that I had was around biotech is going to continue to play a larger role.
Oh, yeah.
But
we'll be growing arms.
I'm not sure on the extent of it. But yeah, we'll be more Darth Vader-esque further down the line.
Hopefully I'll have my first cybernetic enhancements. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
My fourth and fifth arm already installed.
Yeah, I'll be pushing 60. By then, you ready for it? All right.
We could potentially have grandkids.
It's true. Definitely for me. Cool, man.
I don't know how to handle that, James.
All right. I don't know how you're going to handle it either. Okay. Well, everybody, thanks for joining us on this crazy, sporadic, sprawling episode. We kind of went everywhere.
Yeah.
That's the nature of it when you're talking about the future there. On that note, thanks for joining us, and we really do appreciate it. You can check out furloughbros.com. There's not going to be a lot of links this week, so maybe don't. It's okay. You're off the hook. but you can check out all the other previous stuff, like last week's episode where we gave all our post-addictions. Pretty fun and exciting. And next week, I think we're going to start talking CES, aren't we?
Yes, sir. Can't wait.
Corner. That'll be good. That will be good. Okay, so everyone, my name is James Furlow, and my brother is Matthew Furlow. So we will talk next time.